Hey guys, Working Class Bow Hunter. It is episode 516.
Woof.
Cranking them. Kurt here.
Eric. Doug.
Whoa, easy. Fast draw.
I go first, bro.
You're third in line, Doug. Sit down.
Yeah. Know your place, bro.
Yep. We're doing the intro to this podcast, the Lee Her. If you listen to the podcast on Working Class on Deercast, you're already familiar with this nice young gentleman. We kind of razzed him pretty hard on this episode about
his cult, dude,
and everything. Great guy. A lot of fun.
He can take it.
Good dude. Our people. We got to have him back in. One of the fun guys to have in. Him and Josh and the rest of the gang.
I'll be in Bear Camp.
Any announcements, Eric? We got the merch stuff. You're the store guy.
Merch stuff. So we got the new stickers. You know, you can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks stickers in.
Pretty true.
Big hit.
We got the gas station stickers in.
Going to be a huge hit.
And then we have a lot of the shirts are going to be going away. Like I've said in previous podcasts, they're going to be going away. So if you want them now, get them in because we're not going to do any reorders on them. So once they're out, they're out. And then we're doing all new designs. It's time to refresh in the store, I think. I mean, some of these shirts have been running for since we started.
We have five designs in the hopper getting worked on right now.
Yep. Five more designs coming out. So that's going to replace five of the other shirts. So some of the other shirts are going to be going away. If you want them, buy them now.
I like that. That's fair.
Get them.
Cool. Thanks for the update, Eric. I'm going to get right to the biz so you can get right to the podcast.
Let's do it.
The podcast is presented by Elite Archery. The Elite Envision is a shooter, man.
That's right.
It's a shooter. What's up, Doug? What do you need?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you were like, what the heck?
I'm just...
Oh, Doug's ready with his veteran shout-out.
He looked confused there for a second.
He's like just thinking about that veteran shout-out.
Yeah, you're staring off into space.
You can use code WCB at EliteArchery.com. Buy your bow. Ship it to a local dealer. Use the code. Save some money. The Elite Envision is killer. There's Mountain Tan and Sienna Brown.
Mountain Tan, baby.
Mountain Tan looked good in my line.
All the colors look good on these.
I got Mountain Tan.
What color is your bow?
Nice.
It's that purple rain.
Purple rain.
Doug always gets the crazy colors, and I love
why
it.
Why not?
I love it, man.
Can't stop, won't stop.
I love it. Check out the bow. It's, I set my bow up, right? Okay, and I felt like when I was telling everyone at Turkey Palooza, they're like, bullshit. Because, like, there's a certain bows that stick out, like the E35, the Ritual 35.
Synergy.
The Synergy, the Ritual. Ritual was a great platform all around. They've all been good, but there's certain ones that stick out a little more, and the Envision, I think, is that next bow for me.
Dope.
I like it. It's got a wide stance to it. Looks clean.
Oh, dang.
Podcast is also brought to you by Big Tine. Big Tine, right now, you can use code WCB 2022. And if you're thinking about spring plots, you can do that. There's a pre-order available. Well, right now you're pushing the limit. If you're wanting to do the borderline, you can order the borderline.
It's about to run out, so get that shit in right now.
It's really close to running out. It's a problem. Like, we might be on the verge. So if you're wanting to do borderline, block off your entry exit, line out your food plots with the borderline. It's like it's secure cover. It's like a wall. Build the wall. Big Time Borderline.
Build the wall.
What?
Hashtag build the wall.
And there's a pre-order going on for Big Time Main Event. That is a fall plot that I'm going to be running that fall plot at that or the Buck Brunch. BigTime.com, code WCB2022. And Huntworth Clothing. I got to tell you, turkey hunting. I was turkey hunting with Joe. We killed a good Tom in Indiana. And I was sat down with my Tarnin camo on the ground, and he was putting the decoys, so I was getting situated. He's like, God damn, that looks good. And
he couldn't even see you, could he?
He's like, where are you? And I had to take my gloves off. So like, I got hand tattoos, but can you see me?
there you are.
Compliments on that Tarnin camo. I get more on that than any other camo pattern I've ever worn.
I'll say they're just the disruption, whatever I'm using. I'd like to see someone try finding me where I killed my turkey.
Oh, really?
Because that turkey was like 10 yards and couldn't find me.
Really?
I didn't use a decoy, so he's just looking.
Yeah, that's...
I would like to see... I don't know. It'd be funny to sit there and see if, like, you guys come, like, see if you can find us.
That would be cool.
Are we playing adult hide and seek?
Yeah. You get a beer if you find me.
Hey, that's kind of fun. Adult hide and seek. In the back. Brought to you by Huntworth.
Instead of Marco Polo, it's... Psh.
Yeah. And you can use code WCB15 if you're wanting to jump into any of the Huntworth clothing, Disruption, Tarnin, Hidden. They have three awesome patterns.
They all look good, too.
We're Hidden.
Big fans of it, and they're great people behind that brand.
Dude, their gear is solid.
It's I'm I'm telling you, we've been saying it.
We have been. Why don't you believe us?
Scent Crusher, man, we've been proud to work with Scent Crusher for years now, legitimately years. Great people. Rebline does a killer job promoting Scent Crusher, but the products work fucking amazing.
Speak for themselves.
We're rocking the roller bag out to Bear Camp, into our other camps. We're using them as travel bags when we're flying to our flight overseas.
Yeah.
It's basically, yes, scent elimination, primary, of course. Organization for your Huntworth camo is like the number two, because you got your closet and your bags. You pull what you want out of your closet to put in your gear bag or your roller bag onto your hunt, and it's just an amazing.
And to be honest, the new Halo system that's rechargeable, you can take it anywhere. You can put it in your truck, you can do anything with it.
Dude, no more cords.
Your gooch will no longer stink on your week-long no-shower hunts. Scent Crusher.
You'll smell mildly okay.
Yeah. Old Barn Taxidermy, man. All this stuff leads in to your taxidermist. It really does.
Right. It funnels in.
It does funnel in. Get to Old Barn. Tell them we sent you. Running turkey specials right now. They're trying to do 40 full mounts. But yeah, I mean,
get that Mondo mounted.
Take yours, sir.
No,
I didn't mount a turkey. I didn't mount a turkey this year.
I didn't mount one either.
Two turkey mounts right now. Until
mine's
got to
be like something special.
A Mondo.
Mondo.
Like a 30-pounder.
Jesus.
With cheese.
They killed one. They killed a 30-pounder.
I saw that.
Old Barn did.
It's insane.
Also, Loophole Optics. We're going to talk binos today. Normally, we're rocking 10x42s, BX5 Santiums, BX4 Pro Guides. We got some BX4s to give away at the shoot.
I was just going to say that. Like, if you're thinking about coming to the shoot, I would do it because Loophole has it going on.
Well, so there's different levels of the BX4 binos, so you can get what fits your budget. And their performance eyewear. We have some performance eyewear to give away at the shoot. And I've been noticing more and more people are rocking Loophole shades.
Because they're badass.
They're fucking dope.
They are awesome.
They're fantastic.
Check out loophole.com and click around for rangefinders, binos, performance eyewear, spotting scopes, mounts, apparel. They really
great apparel, too.
They have about everything. Their apparel is a shit, dude. Yeah, Loophole doesn't do anything half-assed, and that's just...
The shirt's so comfortable.
That's just facts. Camo Fire. Let's go to Camo Fire right now.
Deals on. Let's see it.
We got tree stand deals. We're talking 58% off, 38% off, 41% off.
$100 for that stand. Get out of here. Come on.
Look at that game cart. 27% off.
Dang.
Ooh-wee.
Woo! That's nice. Look at that shit. Delete your browser shit. History. Your wife will never know where
delete
you're
it.
Hey, water boy.
Woo! You owe me $20.
It's good stuff. What's this? American Hunter.
Remote activator.
Huh. It's a feeder. Kit. You can do that in Iowa, can't you?
I'll be damned.
A lot of good stuff. Range finders.
Yeah, range finders.
Safety harnesses.
Harnesses.
Might need one of them.
Tree stand sticks. Yeah. CamoFire.com. Check it out. Different
camera
deals.
Arm?
They change it. Damn. See, we get caught into looking at deals and we forget where to be.
Like, shit.
Oh, my bad.
Shit, I need to order that.
Sorry about that.
Game bags.
They got game. Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. Those are the black ovals.
Hey, pull the trigger.
That's what I would do.
Listen, man. My wife already hates me. I don't need to. She doesn't suck.
Clear your browser history.
But she already hates me. Novix tree stands. We are doing the code for Novix WCB22. That's only good for 200 uses. Once it's done, it's done. So get in there.
Get your orders in, boys.
If you're planning on getting a new stand for fall, do it while we have the code. The Hilo is my favorite tree stand currently. And they have you want mini sticks, you want full length sticks, you want single sided, you want double
sticks. Double
sticks
are my jam.
What do you need? Novix tree stands, code WCB22.
You can play those snakes, baby.
And quit that. Doug, you want to do the veteran shout out now?
Yes.
One pause.
I will do it now.
Uh-huh.
This veteran shout out is brought to you by HHA USA. Go to HHAUSASport.org. Check them out.
Nice.
Usually have that in my brain, but it's been a while since I've been here. So
you've been doing your veteran shout outs mobily.
Mobily, which is
mobile.
Also tough because it can't be no noise in the background.
Right. You got to tell your girlfriends to shut their whore mouths when you do it.
For the veteran, shut it.
Both of them.
Yeah.
No, but this is submitted by Joseph Felipe. Hopefully I got that right. The veteran is Ben Larson. even says, I hope you don't get that. Don't need help with that one. Nice. In the Army National Guard in Minnesota. Said, I've known Lars for damn near a decade now, and he's a top-notch dude. He's currently deployed with the Minnesota National Guard. Even though he is a stash-wearing tanker, I won't let him change the fact that he's a stand-up guy. He is married to a beautiful wife, Jess, and have two kids under two. We met in the ROTC program in college, and even though our paths don't cross all the time, I'm active duty in the military. We seem to pick up right where we left off. I got Lars hooked on hunting when I brought him out spring turkey hunting back in 2015. Ever since then, he has been just obsessed with the rest of us dirtbags. Nice. Last year,
thanks.
Ben shot his first buck ever, even though he thought it was a doe. I'm never going to let you live that down, bro. Sorry. Yeah, that's definitely knowing you're the boys.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing over there, and when you get back, you got a camera guy for that sweet-ass elk hunt you want to go on. Love you, bro.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
So thanks for sitting that, Joseph, and thank you for your service, Ben.
Thanks, Ben, for your service, buddy. Thank you, sir. And thanks, Joe. Thanks for your service as well.
Congrats on your first buck. You thought it was a doe.
Your doe buck.
Your doe buck.
Your Caitlyn Jenner buck.
Bingo.
Just backwards. Awesome. Well, thanks for that, Doug. You didn't read that like Kid Rock on Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Dear Robbie.
Don't tell Joe.
I found his parents.
I love it. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for your service. Appreciate you submitting that. Let's jump into the episode. Thanks for being here, everybody.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
It is episode 500 and something nobody really cares, episode of Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. I'm your host, Kirk Geyer, speaking.
You got Eric Hammond.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
We have a guest co-hosting.
Josh Barks.
Oh, I got to crank your mic up. It's being silent. And we have guest of the week.
Guest of the week, Lee Herr.
Thanks for being here.
It's like guest of the hour, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be the hour and the week, probably. I got to work on that. I've been meaning to work on mic 6, which is what Josh is on for a long time. It's quiet. Talk into that, sweet baby.
What do you want me to say?
Wow, it sounds nice and low.
Whatever you want to hear, I'll tell it to you.
Oh, baby.
Seductive.
Oh, it's that voice, man.
Oh, he's got the voice.
We'll crank it up. It'll get going here. We'll figure it out here. Working Class Boner, here we are, as you heard from the intro. If you couldn't figure out what podcast we're listening to from our intro, there's no help for you in this world, and you might as well just lay down somewhere, and everyone will forget about you. That's kind of where we're at.
God damn.
How many times more do you need to hear our name before you listen to a podcast? It's a little excessive.
Well, I think at this point they should know what they're listening to.
Yeah, but there's first-time listeners all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, once you hear the intro and then I'm like, welcome to the working class. I shouldn't really have to say, like, welcome to the working class.
No, you shouldn't.
Podcast, but it feels necessary from, like, a host standpoint, right? What do you guys think? You guys are...
Sets it off.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the intro. Love it.
Okay, well, I appreciate
it's
that.
My jam.
We'll leave it for you.
Perfect.
You like
good.
It?
I do like it. If you didn't notice me mouthing every single word.
I did notice that.
I appreciated that. And Lee, we just did a Working Class on Deercast podcast episode, which one of my favorite ones, honestly. Like, I really enjoyed it. The buck story was great, and we're going to cover a little bit of that. But we covered some of the stories in that podcast a little more in detail on that one specific deer than we're going to talk about in this podcast. And I don't know if they're both going to launch the same week or opposite weeks. It'll seem obvious when this comes out, but that's what's going on in real time in my head right now. So if you want to hear more about this giant, giant deer in detail, check out that episode on DeerCast. Please interact with us on DeerCast. Get on there, like, comment, just engage with us. You know, we're going to, we have a, actually, we better talk about this. We have a podcast coming up on DeerCast that we're going to do just the WCB crew, and we're doing a Q&A that's only going to be on DeerCast. So we're only taking questions from comments in DeerCast, and it's going to be completely DeerCast related. So it'll be a ask us anything, but DeerCast focused only. So more specific stuff. We're going to try, Clint's going to try and be in studio for that. Austin will be in the, on that one. We're going to try and get Ross in. So, as far as WCB is concerned for Whitetail Minds, we're going to try and get everybody involved on there. So
how are we going to do that? We're going to make a post on DeerCast says drop your questions here, or how's that going
to
go?
That's the goal.
Okay.
I'll just have to get Josh Sparks over there to be like, yeah, we'll do that. So we'll figure that out.
We know a guy.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's the plan there. So be in DeerCast, support us there, support DeerCast, a community of hunters that need to be supported. Lee talks about in that podcast, basically why you use it.
Yep.
Because you're a guy that's very, like, everything in your life is deer.
Yeah, absolutely. Family, deer, and work, basically.
Yeah. And, so you'll find that out in that episode, but so you're the guest of the hour. How did you get involved in hunting in general? Like, you've been doing it your whole life, or how did it all kind of roll in?
Yeah, so I'm from East Central Iowa, the Amana Colonies. Growing up, I mean, it's in my family. My dad did it. My I'm German, so we call him Opa. My Opa did it. My dad is a he's been a mature big deer killer my whole life. And it kind of started with him, you know, getting me interested, just like every father and son duo, you know?
Yeah.
But when I got to the point where it was like, you know, I was starting to bow hunt and that kind of stuff, you know, 13, 14 year old, basically my dad said, go for it, figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
My Opa didn't bow hunt. He was just a shotgun hunter. I still do the party hunting shotgun thing for the camaraderie.
So it's like a traditional type thing.
Yeah.
And I get that aspect of it.
Yep. And so I know the timbers that we hunt really well. And I'm one of the only young guns that walk, you know, so I walk every drive. So it's more or less just exercise.
You're the dog.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exercise for me. But my dad, he basically, you know, when I was 13, 14, that age, he would say I would hunt this area. But he said, go figure it out. Figure out how to kill a big deer.
That's cool.
Yeah. Death by fire, basically.
That's a better way to do it, I think. And, you know? The gamble is that it's like you could have been like, nah, not for me.
So I've got a couple friends whose dad was a killer. And they were more or less trigger men, you know, as kids. Their dad set everything up, got everything ready all throughout their life, basically. And they pulled the trigger. So
you think that hindered them now?
Yeah, because now one of them doesn't hunt at all. He'll hang around us a little bit, but he does not go hunt. And one of them pretty much only hunts shotgun season, and that's it.
Interesting, because on episode 500, we talked about raising kids and hunting, and like to start them on a crossbow, and what age to start them at. Did you hear that episode?
Yeah, I listened to that. And
what's your thoughts on that whole deal?
So my input on that is, I started shotgun hunting.
Josh is smirking over there.
Because
I want to hear what he has to say.
when Iowa changed to any age a youth hunter can go after I was already the age to be able to go. It was 12 years old when I started.
But you could hunt also
any other season if you were younger. So I started when I was 10. And hunting, you know, you're taking a life. Like it's a big deal.
It's heavy.
So to me, you know, I'm all about getting kids in it, you know, and we talked on the last podcast about my big deer and how I had a couple kids come with for the recovery and that kind of stuff, and getting them involved younger, I think is good. You know, I went to sit with my dad, you know, when I was 4 or 5 years old, we'd go sit in the box blind, you know, like
bless you, well, thank you.
Not a box, you know, like a makeshift box blind, you know, not like not the muddies that are out there today.
Yeah.
And I'd sit with him while he hunted, and we'd go and I'd shoot squirrels. Or, you know, it was, we'd go sit in the bad spots where he wasn't going to kill a deer.
Yeah.
But he'd take me.
You're killing shed antler eaters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Exactly.
Shed rats.
Shed rats.
And tree rats.
Tree rats. Yeah. So getting them involved young, I think, is great.
The post-kill process, like what you did, is probably a pretty good move.
Yep. Because I said I had them
watch me gut it, you know. And yeah. one of them was kind of squeamish, so I, you know, he kind of backed away, and I was like, "That's fine."
Respectfully,
you know,
yeah. You're not like, "Get in here, yeah. you pussy."
Which it wasn't my kid; it was a neighbor's kid. But
yeah, your kid's a bitch.
Take a bite out of this heart. Yeah,
take a bite out of that heart, pussy.
Yeah. Bite the apex and put the blood under your eyes. Yeah. It's like everybody,
get this kid out of here.
No, that's not cool. But it's cool of you to like bring them along because. Gutting a deer is not, you're not cutting open the guts like some of those kids probably think you do, you know?
Right.
And for me, getting them involved at the younger age, like my dad did, 4, 5, 6, you know, taking them with, that's what I'm all about. I've got a 1-year-old son and a 7-year-old stepdaughter. To me, I think once I hit that 10-year-old age
is
when I will start.
See, that's when I got into it, you know, and I don't know what the law is in Illinois. Maybe it was illegal. I don't know. I'm sure it was. I was with my dad, you know, but I was old enough to get it. But I think like guys, I see guys pushing, and we talked about this on 500, pushing the limit at like 5, 6.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, man, that's.
I am just too nervous that I will ruin it for them.
You can. Yeah. I think you can easier than guys that are getting into it.
It's a touchy subject.
It's very touchy.
Well, and I think every kid's wired different, too. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of 5 and 6-year-olds that are ate up. They want to go out there and experience it, and that's great. But, like, my son, Cody, you know, he's 6. I get him out to turkey hunt maybe once a year, and other than that, he doesn't have much interest in the deer, so I'm not going to push it on him.
Yeah,
and he'll come around, dude. He'll come around.
Well, I don't want to ruin him at the age of 6. Like, I'm going to let him watch me do my thing, and eventually he'll be like, man, I want to go out and do that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what'll happen.
Yeah.
And you see videos of, you know, of dads that take their kids out at 5 turkey hunting with full loads, and they shoot the turkey, and they're like, man.
Yeah. But,
Not every kid's wired that way. Absolutely. Yeah. And I
was scared to shoot when I first got my shotgun, dude. I was 8, 9, and I started hunting when I was 10. I wouldn't shoot the shotgun. I was scared of the kick.
Yeah, exactly.
And my dad's like yelling at me, you know? Like, old school type dad.
Yeah.
You pussy, I bought this gun for you. You better shoot it. Like, what the hell did I even spend money on it for?
Yep.
And then it kind of was like, ah. And then eventually I nutted up and did it, you know, but like that, I don't want to put that pressure on my kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's different now. I mean, maybe we should. Maybe that's like part of keeping men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But there is a fine line between a man and a child, though.
There's a fine line.
Very fine line.
You're a child when you're 8 years old.
And I think.
You're a child when you're 12 years old.
Yeah. When I was 10, to me, that was the point where it was like, that's why I'm going to do 10 years old. You know,
that's fair
because I want him to be able to take the kick of a gun.
They're big enough, smart enough.
They're at the point in their life where they understand that they're taking a life. I mean, yeah, they're still young, but to me, it means more to a 10-year-old than it does a 5-year-old.
You can have more intellectual conversation with them. Not that you can't with someone younger, but they don't know what I'm saying.
They understand more what's going on.
Yeah, and like we talked about in the last podcast, I cried like a bitch, you know?
So yeah, well, you didn't, though. I mean,
it means something.
It means something, you know? There's a lot of weight there. There's emotion there. There's time invested. You know, you care about what you're doing. It's not, you know, our podcast is weird because we cuss and we say things and we're sarcastic and we're a little...
like you're a pussy for crying.
Yeah, we're like we would say that, but like we're also kidding. Like we understand the weight of. I love this. We understand the weight of like what's going on, you know. Like, and we're just being real about it. Like, you know, we would never call you a bitch for actually crying over killing a 200 some inch deer. Like, we understand because I would be right there with you. When I killed my creepy is 155-inch 8-pointer with some kickers.
Yep,
I sat next to him for 20 minutes and cried. Not like a bitch for the record, but like
a man.
You weren't.
But you
sobbing,
shed a
you know?
Shed a tear.
Yeah, exactly. I held him back, man, dude. I showed my appreciation.
Who's looking?
Like, it was. Yeah, it was. I'm out some in the woods. Squirrels like some crossbow hunter's about to put a bolt in.
Some squirrels laughing at you.
Yeah,
yeah. He's like, man, fuck him. I would eat them antlers so fast. But we all understand that type of weight and the emotion. And I think at 10 years old, if they grow up in the culture, which I did not, it was kind of like we adopted it into our lives. I guess that's a major factor to consider as you're getting into it.
But even like what you do with like Isla, you know, when you bring the deer home in the back of the range or whatever, you go out there and she sees the deer and everything. That's what I did growing up. You know, dad bring...
That's the culture.
Right. They bring a pile of deer home, you know, and you go over there and poke them in the eyeballs and do all this weird shit, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like,
you're
it's
curious.
Just, it's just, right. It was just getting us into that lifestyle of hunting, you know.
Yeah, poke them in the eyeballs. I mean, that's just kid curiosity.
Yeah, what's his tongue doing sticking out? Yeah. Poking it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's stuff that I don't consider because I didn't grow up... I mean, my uncle's hunting and stuff, but I didn't grow up in that culture, seeing dead deer in the back of trucks and the back of side-by-sides and, you know, and that's stuff that my kids are grow up with. Like, you know, I'll have pictures of Clyde and he's 2 months old with a big buck, you know, and that's stuff I didn't have. But anyway, like, we got off on that tangent. I just want to get your take.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that's one thing that, like, you know, even me starting at 10 years old, to me, once I hit that 18, 19, 20 year old range, it started meaning even more to me than it did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now when I shoot a deer, it's almost like, man, I just killed something.
Yeah.
You know? And when I was 10 to 18, it was like, yeah, I killed something, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's internal. It's,
you feel
it's
just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel it.
You know, it's almost like remorse. Like
there's a fine line between shooting one with a gun and a bow. Like with a bow, it means so much more to you.
Absolutely.
I, in my opinion,
it's a little more personal in a way. Like yeah, it's more,
sure. You're more intimate. You're closer to that animal. You get to see their reaction to the shot. It's just, it does. It means a little more.
Intimate, yeah. I think, is the key term there. And there is an old Fred Bear quote where a gun hunter's hunt ends, a bow hunter's hunt begins.
Yep.
Because you know, a lot of times with a rifle, especially in, you know, you can't rifle hunt in Illinois, but like muzzleloader and Midwest and some of that, you know, really anywhere. You see a deer a lot of times sub 300 yards with a rifle, you can shoot it, given a lot of different variables. The bow hunt, you're like, okay, we see him. We're this good night already.
Now we got to get him here.
Now we got to get him here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I get that quote. Intimate is probably the number one term with that. So yeah, I mean, that's the fun thing about the conversation with different people is like seeing how they observe things and appreciate different things and different animals and hunts and are passionate about things and all that. So I just want to get your take on the having kids yourself. So
yep,
good conversation,
you
know.
I love it. I love that deep type conversation. It's just how you tap into it to get there,
right?
And some podcasts we get into it, some podcasts you can't.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm super passionate about, because like I said on the last podcast, hunters realistically are, in today's society, are a dying breed.
You think so?
Kind of. Overall general population, yes.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking whole United States wide, yes.
See, I feel like I'm losing touch of that, just being completely transparent on here. I feel like we're going to get deeper and deeper on this podcast. I like it. But I feel like I don't feel that way, because everyone around me is a hunter.
Yeah.
Like I've so...
Well, we've surrounded ourselves with hunting.
We've designed our lives around this hunting culture.
Right.
That I feel that we're so into it that I don't see that. But I think you're right. I'm not saying I don't think that you're wrong. I don't.
Right.
But I don't think about that enough because I don't feel it enough.
And I don't know that...
You know what I mean?
I don't know that necessarily it's... I don't know if a dying breed was the correct term to use.
Have you called Matt Ranella and talked to him about this?
No.
You should have talked to him for coming on.
Josh is moving research.
Josh is leaving. He's getting out of here.
He's just here smiling with a beer.
But it's no doubt the perception of it is way different than it was 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's less accepted in the world.
You think that?
Yeah, I mean.
I think it's less accessible, too.
God damn it.
Less
what is
accessible?
Going on with your mic, Josh?
This piece of shit. We need to get a new cord for that.
I know. I think it's the cord. Talk into that, baby.
What do you want me to say?
See, that's...
Oh, no. You shut it off.
Now do it.
Hello.
We've had issues with that since Whitetail Adrenaline.
Why do you sit me here?
I'm sorry, man. You want to share a mic with me?
You said you weren't going to say anything anyway.
Because you don't say shit.
I think when you talk, you just got to get on that mic heavy.
I'm here.
There you go.
Whoa. There it is. Cuff it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cuff him. But you feel like it's less accepted now.
I do, man.
Yeah, I mean,
just in a general population, you know, you look at the world and I think, you know, like we're having conversations out there, the world's way different than it was 20 years ago.
It is. Austin, you're the oldest in here.
Well, I think the non-hunters definitely scream a lot louder today than they did 20 years ago. And maybe that makes it seem like we're getting kind of boxed out. But percentage wise, I don't know that we've really lost any hunters or we've gained any hunters. It seems, I don't know.
Right. And that's what the overall general population though, there's a lot more of those people now than there used to be, I think.
Because the internet.
I was going to say, I think there's different platforms.
Yeah. Because which, good those people bad. Are louder. That's yeah. why, I mm-hmm. think.
There's also more platforms of hunters, you know?
Yeah, so. True.
Agreed.
Go to DeerCast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got nobody bitching at you. Nice. We could have posted Austin's buck, the Leah's buck, and no one would have complained at us at DeerCast. Well, you know what?
You'd be they surprised.
Yeah. We got more shit on Instagram would've. From hunters than non-hunters. Yeah. But I feel like people in DeerCast are like, you don't see arguing on DeerCast. It's a community.
Well, and I think, so his buck, we'll get into it, but my bow buck was a similar situation.
Okay. This will be fun.
Yep. And
we're building we'll right get, now. We'll this get conversation's into yeah. getting to your season.
Yeah.
I guess we're adding layers to your bow hunting experience, I guess,
yep.
in your journey a little bit with all this. But I find that tick interesting. You know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you more, but I'm...
Agree to disagree.
I'm bringing up kinda. Topics for the sake of great conversation. Yep. I don't... You know, it's hard for me to talk. I want to say I don't feel like it's less accepted now in society, but everyone that I'm around knows how into hunting I am, and they're yep. not going to fucking argue me on it.
I just don't think we see it as much as some other hunters do.
We're right. blind to it a little bit.
And,
a little
blind yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know where all you live, but this area seems more rural.
It is. It's all this way. Everywhere.
So yeah. where I live now, I mean, I butt up to the Des Moines Metro, and Josh lives in the Des Moines Metro. So, you know, I see a lot more nerds. Of those nerds.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm 30 minutes out, but
right.
you see a lot more of it, you know. And the high school yeah. I went to is right on the outskirts of Iowa City. So a lot of my friends, you know, they don't hunt. It's not what they do, you know. Yeah. So now I see them on social media and I see their opinions and they're more vocal about their opinions than mm-hmm. they used to be, I think.
I try to look back like in my high school when I was going to school, there were only, I don't know, half a dozen bow hunters in the school of 250 kids.
Mm-hmm. Really? I figured you'd have a lot more.
There wasn't that many back in the day, but you got to think this has been, you know, 1997, 98 when I was in high school.
Jesus.
But
you're old.
But nowadays, old, I think the percentage of bow hunters in high school would be quite a bit more than that.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
See, our high school was kind of the same. Like, there wasn't very many bow hunters, but there's a lot of shotgun hunters.
Yep. And I would say mine's flip-flop of him. I would say the percentage of deer hunters, because the urban has creeped into where I went to high school a lot more.
Yeah.
I would say the percentage of farm kids, hunters, that go there now is less than it was when I was
there.
That's
how my high school is.
Yep.
See, my perspective is a little... I mean, so I have opposite... Like, my perspective when I was in high school, I felt very isolated, like...
I did too.
I was, we went to similar type culture high schools. Like,
I just didn't talk about hunting to anyone in high school.
Well, I did. I was like, when I had MySpace, this is,
you're dating yourself.
Zanga?
Yeah, but we're all there. Like,
what was
right?
your song?
You want to know you want to know what my name was on MySpace? This
Absolutely.
Is, dude, everyone, okay. Everyone that was anti-hunting in high school knew me for my MySpace name.
I'm going to guess it.
Let's hear it.
You'll never guess it.
BMX.
It's a phrase.
Oh. It's like Whitetail BMXer.
You know how you had like, if I remember MySpace right, you had your name, but then you had like a thing next to your name you could write out something? Mine was eat meat, drink milk, be normal. And everyone, like, dude, there's this group of vegan bitches that knew me because of it, and every time they'd just give me the finger. But I was a BMX kid with gauges and long hair, and I had like a Hoyt bow hunting. Like, dude, Hoyt put out this shirt in the fucking late 2000s, and it had $3 on it. It was just like a fucking montage of three deer majestically, like cartoon type drawn, but realistic enough. And I rocked that shirt for years.
Every day.
I wore it like it was a band t-shirt. And dude, oh man, they hated me.
Man, so coming from my background, I fucking love that.
Yeah. So eat meat, drink milk, be normal. That was my MySpace thing. And man, was it.
I should be on his fucking license plate next week.
That's the next apparel. You
piss a lot of people off.
That's a new shirt coming.
Dude, yeah. I pissed a lot of people off then, but like there were some shotgun hunters, but I was the only like hardcore bow hunter that I knew in my high school of, you know, my class had 600 kids in it and, you know.
Woof.
So enough kids there.
That's huge.
You know, it's a city. It's a one of the big quad city high schools, you know.
Yep.
Mine was the second biggest high school in Iowa.
Where'd you go?
Downport West.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think yours is bigger than mine,
it
probably.
Huge.
I've seen some shit.
Yeah, I graduated with 100. I graduated with 111.
Yeah, like you went to prison.
He was hard out here.
Spit old fashioned.
Is that the first person to spit in the studio? I know Austin was the first person to spill, but
sorry whoever got any old fashioned on him. But
I seen some shit.
See, and that's crazy to me because
I did some time.
4 years.
I was 111 in my graduating class, and now my school's at like, I don't know, 250 probably.
That's probably like a decent sized high school, right?
Yeah, we were 3A. Yeah, and it was
whatever that means.
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea what our high school was.
Yeah,
well, I'm telling you, he was 4 or 5A. That's big.
Okay, we're multicultural. Sick. Where I went, so what's up?
We were very multicultural.
We also had Kelowna, Illinois. You ever done meth? What's up?
I'm sure it was around.
It was one time, okay?
No, I never did. I seen it in Kelowna.
Peer pressure, man.
But anyway, I felt it then, you know? But I don't feel it now, but it's because who you're surrounded by, you know?
Yep.
But whatever. I don't know. Interesting stuff, either way.
That took a turn real fast.
I love it. That's the best part about podcasting, man. We're just having conversation.
Absolutely.
So growing up and hunting, I mean, did you find a point where, like, did you hit a certain age where it clicked for you with, like, bigger deer? Like, did you have a moment where you're like, oh, here it is?
So my whole life, my dad's killed
some. You're still shooting dinks, though.
Yeah, all right. Get out of here. My dad's killed some big shit.
Yeah.
We were sitting at home, at their house a couple weekends ago, just plinking around having fun, like scoring deer and like doing averages. My dad's hunted since the early 90s, and I don't know what he's got. He's really picky. He's got like 11 bucks on the wall, and his average is like 156 inches.
Wow, that's impressive.
My whole life, that's all I was around. I have two other guys other than my dad that were like mentors in my whitetail world, and both of them are big deer killers too.
Mm-hmm.
Both my sisters are big deer killers.
Really?
It's just what I was around. My sister's only shotgun hunt.
Are they single? Because Doug's looking.
Do not let Doug.
Never. Not in any Doug. Way, shape, or form would that happen.
Even if they are, no, they're not, Doug.
Yeah. So my oldest sister.
Well, this podcast is over.
Shout out to Alyssa.
Doug leaves. Goes to his sister's house.
No.
Click.
Are they single?
No. Neither of them is.
Okay.
Sorry, Doug. Sorry, man. That mustache is too dirty. Too dirty for my sisters.
You saw me killing all the big bucks.
Yeah. So my one sister's really picky.
Yeah.
Because in...
Hear that, Doug?
On guys or...
On
guys
deer.
Are
deer.
On mustaches.
Well, they both are. And my whole family is. My one sister's killed like 4 deer. And she's got a 155 average, I think is what it was.
Wow.
And she's killed... All 4 of them have been really good deer.
Mm-hmm.
My other sister's only killed 2, and her average is like 178. She has a 184 incher and a 158 incher or something like that.
That's the one you need to latch on to, Doug.
Yep. No.
We should have talked more in college.
Yeah. And then I've got 12 on the wall. And so, like, getting back to my whole life, it's been big deer. That's
What's
it.
Your average, like 120?
My average right now with all 12 that I have on the wall is 157.
That's impressive. Yeah. My average is probably in the high 140s.
Yep.
Mine's like 27.
What's your average, Austin?
I don't know. I just added up, actually, kind of unrelated. The guys that we met in Illinois that do like the scan of the racks, they're going to come out, and they had to have me count all the racks to give me a quote.
Oh, you called them up?
Yeah. Well, actually, he reached out to me. But
yeah, that's right.
23 racks is what I have upstairs. And then I think I've got 3 or 4 in the garage. So that's all I know. I don't know what an average would be, but I think I've got 26 or 27 whitetails that I've killed.
You
got
to be high 50s average.
I mean, I've got 3 that are like 120-ish, and everything else is 40s plus.
Yep.
So...
Yeah,
if you'd seen his place, you'd shit yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys sound like on the ball. I mean, some of those, that's impressive.
We're talking about averages. Let's throw Ross's averages in there.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't even want to go there.
Ross doesn't kill a ton, but what he kills is always quality.
Yeah. 300 plusers helps bring the average up.
He's
got to
be 180s average.
90s, 90s. Yeah, I would say that's
96,
70s, 80s. Yeah.
That 196er.
The 96er
might hurt a little bit.
That's going to dent the system.
Yeah, but it's like, do you count the bucks when you were 11, 12, 13, 14?
I'm counting everything.
Every deer for me. That's every deer, 12 of them.
Up until I was about 17 is going to hurt my average pretty bad.
But circling back to your question about, you know, the one deer that truly, you know, was the switch flipper for me, it would have been not this past season where I killed the two, but the season before.
That recent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's when I truly at the, I always just hunted before that, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I ran cameras and that kind of stuff and I hunted in the area that there were big deer, but the first big deer that walked by me, you know, in my early bow hunting career, and you guys talk about this all the time, maturing as a bow hunter, mm-hmm. you start with those 40s, you know, 30s or 40s deer, you go to those 50s or 60s deer. My first one where it was like, that's the deer I'm killing. And, you know, that's the only deer I'm killing and I'm going to figure out how to kill him was 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 10 pointer that was 166 and 7/8.
It's a slammer, dude.
And I killed him.
That's a buck I shot last year.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
And I killed, he was a really pretty 10. He would have been over, he had a broken brow tine. He'd have been over 170 if his brow tine was there.
It's a slammer.
But that was the first one that it was like, that was the flip switch for me where it was like figuring out a certain deer and figuring out big mature deer.
Yeah.
Like I said, my whole life, it's always been I'm going to kill a good deer. But I didn't care which good deer it was.
Yeah. Right? But I feel, I don't feel like you're giving yourself enough credit. You know, I feel you probably stair step to the point to a certain level.
You're still killing the big deer though.
Like, yeah. You're still killing. Right. I feel, I don't feel like you're giving yourself enough credit, but I get what you're saying.
So my first,
you answered my question.
Right.
You turned that dimmer on halfway. You just didn't flip her all the way up yet.
My first ever buck I killed when I was 10 was, he had a broken right brow tine. Had he had that brow tine, he'd have been upper 60s. Yeah. He was 159, a 10-pointer with a missing brow. So, and like I said, it's just in my blood. Big deer is in my blood.
Yeah.
It's everybody I've ever been surrounded by is big deer.
And that helps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also helps you live in Iowa. And New Hampshire, I'm sorry.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Yes.
Actually, my smallest deer I've ever killed was last year. It was late muzzleloader season. Not long after I had the misfire on the buck that we were talking about out there, I misfired on like a mid-50s 8-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
It was last day of the season, and my stepdaughter said, as I was walking out, she goes, "I really want you to kill a buck tonight." And I was like, "Oh man, well."
Put that pressure on
here
me.
Here we go.
But we're talking about maturing as a hunter too, though. That's a sign of maturing as a hunter.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. And I made a Facebook post after I killed that deer. You know, it's the only deer I have in the 130s. Everything else is 143 or 142 or above.
Yeah.
And it walked out the last 10 minutes of light and it was like, I don't think it was a mature deer. I think it was a 3-year-old, you know.
Score didn't matter in that one.
In that one.
I don't think that you always have to kill a giant, big, mature buck, mature deer. Like, dude, this second buck I killed last year is like a 123, 8, and the hunt got me excited.
Exactly.
And I was like, wax this buck, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I don't really know what that deer was.
But, oops.
Oops.
And I would say that buck, it's a very close run with this buck now.
Yeah.
But that buck at that point meant more to me than any of the big deer I've ever killed.
That's one of them deers that you're never going to forget the story.
Right. Because mm-hmm. I got to take her with me on the track job and she got to come with me. That buck, I might say that this one edged up because the whole story.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, how figuring him out and, you know, there wasn't much to figure him out.
And he's
over
200. But,
and he's a big giant. He's a once in many lifetimes deer.
Yes.
But I still think even that hunt it's a real close run between these two hunts.
Yeah. Well, I get that, man. Like, every hunt has its own dynamic and its own meaning behind it. And it's like, if people want to judge it off that, of what they see as far as a score or numbers concerned, then they're overlooking the weight of a certain situation on your hunt, not their hunt, your hunt.
Right. And that shooting that deer, like I said, to me, I've always been a mature big deer killer. So, and when it walked out, there was no question.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to kill that deer.
Yeah.
Right.
For that reason.
You knew right away.
Because I knew that it would mean something.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
But
I get that. So let's talk, man, about your season, because we talked about this big buck, which we're going to touch on a little bit again on this episode. But let's talk about the season, because Josh has been telling me how big of a killer you are, and he says you're a great dude, and we want you to prove it. Yeah, I'm kidding.
So I'm going to prove the great dude part of the killer.
So far,
I've
been disappointed.
I think Brandon's a way better dude.
Yeah, Brandon's
shout
good
out
dude.
To Brandon.
Hey, shout out to Brandon, man.
Brandon's a way better dude.
I think, Doug's our character judger here at Working Class Bowhunter.
Bad vibes.
Yeah. And he's seen some shit.
Dude, I was judging character back in high school, son.
Dude, that killed me for some reason.
Doug doesn't say the whole thing for an hour, and he just says, "I seen some shit."
take a drink.
Like Doug was in Nam. Right?
I just like stared at him. I seen some shit.
Well, so let's talk about your season, because I heard, like, and we can talk outside of whitetails too.
Yeah. So, I had a kid. My son was born April 10th, 2021.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, oops.
I'm just kidding. Wasn't during hunting season.
Kids are so fun, dude. Yeah, you planned it right.
Yeah. So
my daughter was born May 3rd, so I'm like in that spring kid, like turkey May season 6. Babes.
Yep.
Nice.
Let's go.
There it is.
So I put in for an elk draw in Wyoming with one of my buddies. And it's a cool story because it's an elk, but it was a gun hunt and really a hard hunt because of
Wyoming.
Yeah. And it was not a very sought after area. Long story short, the hunt, the actual hunt, but the whole hunt was not very cool. Like the whole week we were there. I'm not going to say it wasn't cool because it was my first time hunting out west, but, it wasn't too crazy, but the actual hunt where I killed him was pretty cool. He was about 1800 yards away and it was him and four cows and he was, let's see when we were there. We were there the end of September, beginning of October.
Mm-hmm.
He was messing with those cows and they wanted nothing to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
My buddy that I went with, he's actually my taxidermist.
Good relationship to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When he walked out with them four cows, I looked at him. He's been out there a couple times. It was my first time out. I looked at him. I said, "What are the odds that I kill that elk?" Cause it was, we were taking turns and he said, "Depends how big the horseshoe in your ass is." And
you should have been like, "Well, my ass hurts."
Hey, it was up your ass,
My ass is throbbing.
So he
my like bee hole hurts.
My bot fly hole hurts.
Hey man, Junk Bro had a bee hole, man.
Hey, respect the bee hole.
Respect the bee hole.
Everyone's got one.
But
sorry about that.
No, you're good. So he was with four cows and he like went to push two of them around. Well, it might've been three cows and a calf.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know too much about elk hunting, you know? Yeah, it's a cow. It doesn't have antlers.
You can tell.
So
just shitting on him all the time.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
You know, I was your favorite bartender in college. Just shut up and let it loose.
The bartender never
did. The worst bartender at Iowa State.
Because I was a door guy and I wouldn't let you.
We're going to talk about that at the end. Cause there's some funny shit apparently.
No, maybe.
We'll get there.
You got something in your ass, and you're trying to kill an elk.
Yeah. So, the elk messes with the two cows and two of the four, and they're like, "Mm-mm," and they take off running. Well, then he goes to the other two, and one of those cows donkey kicks him, and I look at my buddy and I said, "Did the odds get better?" And he said, "Horseshoe's getting a little bit bigger," and I can't elk call to save my life. My buddy, my taxidermist can.
Yeah.
And he calls at him and he's like 1800 yards and halfway back at like 900, there's a trail that the elk would take up and down out of this bowl. And he starts coming our way after he calls. And I'm like, "This is going to freaking happen, man."
Yeah. You're like, huh?
When he turns and comes at us, cause I was like, he's far enough away. He ain't going to hear us. You know? So, but he mewed cow call. I don't even know what it's called. Through the tube, make it a little louder. And he starts coming our way. And I'm like, "This is going to freaking happen, man." And he gets to like 1,000 yards just right before that trail that cuts down and he holds up. So there was three of us out there and one of us jumped behind a decoy and there's like a little cut close to where we're at. He jumps in that cut and like walks up to where he can see the decoy.
Mm-hmm.
And the bull's standing there looking at us and, kind of just him or haw, not sure what he's going to do. Well, at that point he backed down with the cow decoy into the cut, kind of where he was going out of sight of the bull. And when that happened, that bull picked his head up and he trotted all the way to us for 1,000 yards, jumped the fence, and came to you know, 80 yards, and I shot him at 80 yards with the rifle.
No shit.
Yep.
Did he drop or what happened?
No. So actually, I was mind blown because, you know, a whitetail, you shoot him, you know, with a gun and he's dead. You know, you hit him well enough, he's dead. My shot was, he was quartering to me a little bit, hit him right in the shoulder. I was shooting a 7mm. And we ended up, between me and my buddy, we put four holes in him. And he still made it like 250 yards.
Wow.
Two of the holes were in the heart. And two of them were in the lungs. And he still made it like 250 yards.
Jeez, that's impressive, man.
They are tough animals, man.
Big animal like that.
Yeah. And I'm a huge bow hunter, just like all you guys. You know, I took my bow with us, even though we were going to be there during rifle season, because you can use both. And I wish I'd have had it with me, because that he would have came to 30 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And I could have shot him.
Yeah,
he was coming. But at the same time, he was a 6x6.
He's headed straight for us, boys.
Yeah.
We're on South Park. You ever seen that?
No.
He's coming right for us.
You and Josh would get that.
Yeah.
But I'm not an official scorer, especially on elk. It's the only elk I've ever scored, but I had him at 309.
Yeah, if you can measure deer, you can figure out.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Yeah. I looked up.
It's a big buck or a big bull, man.
Yeah, man. And it was,
shoulder mount him?
Yeah, some pictures here, man.
Yeah, you got to show me.
Yeah. My goal was the 250 mark.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, I almost shot a spike by fork on the first day, you know?
Just because.
Because it was like, man, I'm elk hunting. This is sweet.
Yeah. But, were your buddies pissed? Like, not pissed, but no, were they like, you mother?
No. My one buddy's been out there a couple times, and basically it was like, you know, it's your turn. And, you know, because I told him, I was
Have they killed bulls out there before?
The one had, and my taxidermist has too, but nothing big.
Yeah. Nothing like what you shot, or?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like what I've shot.
I gotcha.
My taxidermist shot one with a bow, and it was a nice bull for what it is. You know, I don't know much about him. I know mine looks freaking cool and is going to be a cool on the wall, man. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But 250 was like my mark, and well exceeded that. Super dark chocolate antlers.
Awesome. Yeah, 60 inches, I'll take it.
Yeah. And my favorite part about him is he's got like, well, this structurally, this is my favorite part.
Pull a picture up of him.
Yeah. On the end of his beam. I shut my phone off again.
Why? You shut off?
Yeah, because I didn't know if it messes with.
Man, respect. Stuff. No, you just got to put it on airplane mode.
Oh, cool. Hey, man.
Unreal.
Trying to do good by the podcast.
Yeah.
Unreal.
On his unreal. Right antler, he's got like an acorn. You know how deer will get the acorns?
Yeah, peckerhorn.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I guess I've never.
My dad always called them peckerhorns.
Oh yeah,
but he's got one of those on his right side. But my favorite part about the rack is the smell. Like even still, when you hold it up, it smells like a cedar tree.
Oh really?
From rubbing on the trees. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
take that, Doug.
You bitch.
This is
not impressed.
This is a picture of him hanging at the taxidermist.
A little aggressive on the phone slide, but we'll
might as well look.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You're easy.
Oh, he does have a pecker horn.
Yep.
Pecker horns and bee holes.
Pecker horns and bee holes, man.
Man, that's awesome.
Second apparel edition.
Sign me up.
Yeah. And it was a fun hunt, man.
I bet. That's awesome.
And some people, they go out there and they're like Clint, he's ate up with it, you know? That's He'd rather do that than. You know, I don't know if he'd rather do that than hunt whitetails.
He would.
But he says that, you know, sometimes. It was cool. You know,
I think Clint would rather chase muleys over everything.
Right.
Josh is shaking his head.
There's something about an elk bugle. I mean, I've never gone out to hunt, but.
You never killed an elk?
I'm not. No, I went out.
You've got some long times.
Yeah.
I picture you as a guy who's like killed like a handful of elk.
No. I wish. Maybe someday.
Get Mark on that.
Mark, you listening?
Mark, book it up, buddy. Book it up.
No, help. Man, I don't care if I'm behind a weapon or a camera. Experience is what I'm about. You know, Montana, listening to that elk the first time, like turkey hunters. Who's a turkey hunter?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, none of you guys. Exactly.
You don't turkey hunt?
Dude.
No. I'm with Eric, man.
Doug's a turkey hunter.
Listening to the first full bugle, dude.
There's a lot of similarities between turkeys and elk. Yep.
Dude. No, it was... seeing him kill one obviously made me want to go out there, but it doesn't matter what it takes to get back to the Elk Mountain. That's something I'm very interested in.
I like that.
And I want to go back at some point because I want to kill him with the bow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be in the dark timber.
In the shit.
In the shit, having them right in my fucking face, 20, screaming
15
at
yards beating in your face.
Austin and I are supposed to go to Wyoming this fall if we draw. I think we're going
to
draw.
I think the odds are pretty high that we're going to. It's like, it's weird because that hunt, we're like not even that stoked for it because we got this big African safari coming up a month ahead of it. But
I know.
As soon as we get back, we're going to be like, shit, but we got to go on another one.
Once we get our arrows built, which is going to be soon, I mean, all of us, and we start at, I mean, the animals we're going to trying to shoot in Africa are the size of elk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the training like we're training for a fight is what's going to turn into here, and we'll be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I would say that elk hunt made me a better archery shot deer hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was told by my taxidermist, Dylan Crawl, you got to be able to shoot 60, 70, 80 yards pretty comfortably. You know, you might have to shoot one that far. So my practice regimen was, you know, when I strictly for whitetail, me before my elk hunt, I was not shooting over 40 yards.
Yeah.
You know,
but you go out west, it changes.
Yeah, you have to. I mean,
like, people don't like to hear it, and especially people get weird on long range shots. If you can't feel confident 80, 90, 100, your shot opportunity dwindles.
Yep.
In real time, on non outfitted hunts, especially on public ground, which is most of the land out there, it's vast. If you want to kill an antelope and you can't shoot 85 yards accurately, I haven't had an antelope closer than 50 ever.
Yep. Your odds go downhill.
Yeah.
Quickly.
If you're going to go antelope hunting on public, you know, a point that doesn't, or a unit doesn't cost 4 points to go on, like an over the counter, like, hey, we'll just draw, you better be able to shoot 90 yards and feel good about it. That's the reality of it. There we are. There it is.
Nice.
So you go from that elk hunt, that's September.
I killed him October 4th.
Oh, October. Okay,
yeah,
October
4th. Rifle starts October 1st in the unit we were in.
So you're like giving all your buddies a middle finger. You're heading back to Iowa.
Yeah. Yep.
Season's already open.
He's had a hell of a season, yeah.
And it was like, there was pretty good, I had a pretty good pattern on a deer coming into October. So I was super nervous about being gone, you know, because that's what I was going to say. You know, even though I went and killed that elk and I was out there, Dylan calls me a deer queer because I would rather hunt whitetails even after being out there. Granted, it wasn't in the shit like you say, but
no, but I get it though.
Yeah. It's what I was bred on, you know, it's what I grew up deer queer. Yeah.
Queer for deer is what I called Casey. She's our lesbian friend. So we have like a token gay. I probably can't say that either. Can I?
Yeah, that is what it is.
I'm bad at that stuff. Like I have no political career.
Yeah.
Queer for deer.
But
I like that. I mean, that's fair though.
Yeah. So
I'm queer for deer.
Damn straight, buddy.
Yeah, what's up? Power to you. So is everybody else in here? Yeah. Don't act like you're not.
Yeah. Done. So going into my deer season.
Didn't say I wasn't.
just not gonna talk about it.
Before you get into your deer season, you better start with the shed. Yeah, I know it was on the other podcast, but you gotta set it up.
So
hey, Lee's talking, right?
Yeah. I talk too much. Tell me to slow down and let you guys talk. I like to talk, man.
This is a BS session compared to the deer cast episode.
Yeah, for sure. So I got permission on the property.
Because I'm here?
Shit.
Dude, fuck you, Doug. Man. Hey, you know what, Doug?
Kurt, mute him.
You know, shut the fuck up, Doug.
You can't talk
for 10 minutes. How's that?
Y'all queer for deer, I'm out.
He is the one with the Bush Light, so.
Yeah, he's got to buy him. You know?
Well, I got a line on Kugel, so.
A little bit of lineys?
That's it.
Yellow Juicy Peach.
So the beginning of this whole deal, both my deer this year came off the same property, a 21-acre property not too far from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And
pass that shed around, boys.
Yeah.
While we're talking.
Which one?
The first one. The first one we're talking about. Yeah. Nope. The other one's the first one, right?
This one? Yep. I killed this deer first.
Yeah. Pass that one around.
So the same day, I got permission to shed hunt the property. You can go listen to the DeerCast episode if you want to hear more of the story, basically.
Finer details.
So I got permission on the property through a long series of events. I went out there and I shed hunted and I found junk browse side first and lost my shit.
I could imagine.
Freaking whopper antler, you know?
Understandably so.
Holy shit. I'm walking back, and, you know, this shed's not impressive, but from a long ways, I could see that it was a little bit heavier, and I thought it was his other side. And I was like, one of my buddies, and I was like, holy fuck, I found his other side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Ended up finding that. Got permission to bow hunt the property. And with Junk Brow, you know, thinking that he was in the area, you know, I talked about this on the other one, but I was November 10th is when I decided that I was going to shoot a different deer had I the opportunity.
Yeah.
So
that November 10th deadline's a great deadline. We talk about that in detail on the other episode. See, yep. We're promoting back and forth here. I like
the deadline.
Yeah.
So starting in the summer.
The great dilemma.
In the Amana dilemma. Colonies where I'm from.
Which, well, I want to bring up the dilemma again. So
yeah, we will.
Don't forget that. Okay.
In the Amana colonies where I'm from, it's a corporation, essentially, and they own a bunch of ground and they farm it themselves. And if you own shares in the company or grew up there and have direct lineage to the original people that settled the ground, you can hunt the ground. Well, it's, you guys are going to shit when you hear this number. It's 29,000 acres.
So are you telling me you have some lineage in there?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So it's, and Josh grew up there too. That's where he grew, cut his teeth hunting too. Both of us.
Oh,
did.
It is? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But there's 160 people that can hunt it. And it's not managed for deer. It's strictly a farm, you know,
160 people over 30,000 acres.
Yeah. It's like, it comes down to like 2000 acres a person,
wow.
But that is, so timber's like 11,000
still.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah, and it's really hard to,
can you go anywhere
on that 26,000?
Yeah.
Yep.
I said, there's what, it was unwritten boundaries.
It is. So my three father figures growing up, my dad and the two other father figures, there's
hold on.
Yeah. Is this just blowing your mind?
I'm going to ask some.
It's not as good as it sounds.
Ignorant.
I promise.
Well, I can see
it's
that.
It's worse than public ground.
I was going to mention that. This that might one. Be offensive, but it's only through ignorance. And I don't mean, is the Amana colony, is that Mennonite?
No. So that German. Is a super, super, misunderstanding about the Amana colonies.
We're not Amish.
There is not an Amish person. So I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here, but I'm going to explain it since we're talking about it.
Yeah, yeah,
there is a lot of Amish up that way, though.
So not Kelowna really. Would be the it's closest like, Amish, which is
45 minutes.
Well, I drink beer at Kelowna Brewery. Great place.
So the Amana colonies, originally what it was a group of German people who had a different religion than a Catholic or a, you know, a Methodist or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were in Germany, they were prosecuted for it. You know, people shunned them out, essentially.
Yeah.
So they came over in early 1800s, basically. Mm-hmm. Originally, they settled in Buffalo, New York, and then decided they wanted to move away from the more people that were coming in. And they settled on the Iowa River west of Coraville, you know, where I said,
yep.
Which I guess that was on the last podcast. If you draw a line between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids in Iowa, it's west 15 miles.
Okay.
They settled there. And originally they settled, which back then when you settled the ground, you owned it.
Yeah.
75,000 acres.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a big communal living society. So that's why people confuse it with the Amish, because it was like, you know, this person was the horseshoer, the horse guy. This was the schoolhouse. This was, everybody came here to eat. All the families came here to eat.
Yeah.
East of Manna, West of Manna, South.
Yeah. There's
Manna,
seven of them.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
Seven colonies. They still call them.
Okay.
So, and then in like 1932, they became a corporation, got shares, all that kind of stuff, and sold off 50,000 acres at that point. So that's where they're at, the 27,000 acre mark right now.
Okay.
Getting a little history lesson in here.
Yeah. I didn't know all this.
I'm German.
Yeah.
Can I hunt there?
No, nope. You are not. You can. Or you might be German, but you can't hunt there. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, bitch.
So now there's
look on his face.
There's just on his face.
Just blank.
There's a piece of shit. There's a couple ways you can hunt there. You can live in the Amana colonies, and it's a.
So we just got to move there.
It's a clusterfuck, really. So if you live in the Amana colonies, but you don't own shares in the corporation, you have to be accompanied within 100 yards by somebody who does.
Huh.
Mm. Yeah, it's
that's a clusterfuck and a half.
It's a clusterfuck.
So you have to live near somebody with
You hunt. Like hunting. You have to be within 100 yards of somebody while they're hunting.
So I had to
like
be 100 yards of you.
No, you can't.
Long story short,
unless you move there. If you move there, you could.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The drama is not worth a hunt.
No.
I can imagine.
So for instance, I have the opportunity to hunt 26 to 27,000 acres. I killed both these deer on 21 acres. That is not the Amana colonies.
Okay.
And it used to be. It used to be freaking phenomenal. My dad, all my dad's deer, all my sister's deer, you know, my two father figures other than my dad, all their deer, all their kids' deer came off of Amana.
Really?
Yep. And it used to be really good. They changed some farming practices around, and we used to fly a helicopter to count the deer herd every year. And at one point it was like 2,200 deer on the 27,000 acres.
Oof.
And now it's like 1,000 because with less all the crop half. Damage, they made us.
What was it? Four does?
You had to kill two does before you could kill a buck.
So it was an earn a buck type deal.
Yeah.
It's also only a single buck.
One buck.
Oh, it was earn a buck.
Even though in Iowa we get a gun tag and a bow tag, mm-hmm. you can only kill one buck on a Amana. Doesn't matter. You can go kill your other one somewhere else.
Yep.
But a lot of the 160 people that hunt there don't give a shit about big mature deer.
They're just killing deer.
They're I mean, they like killing big deer, and every one of them, every one of the groups, because of those 160, only like 30 bow hunt, and the rest are Orange Army.
Wow.
So
even the bow hunting's not worth it?
So the quality of deer, it used to be like back in the early or late 90s, early 2000s, there used to be big shit killed every year. I mean, with among everybody during shotgun season, there'd be not a 200, but there'd be a 180s, 190s killed every year, you know, 5 to 8 170s killed, a shitload of 160s killed. And, you know, a lot of that changed.
God, the numbers, man.
Dude, it's wild. It's fucking wild.
And that's all gone.
So 2 years ago when I killed...
It's cool you can talk about it because no one can just go there unless they have like...
Yeah.
They're in this cult of whatever it is.
See, and that's funny you say that. I mean, a lot of people view it that way because it's that way.
Is it not?
we both moved
yes
away.
Yes and no.
We both
yes and
you
away.
Guys got out.
I'm not going to say it's a cult.
What I'm saying, I knowingly know it's abrasive.
Cultish? Yeah,
it's cultish.
Cultish?
And it's...
Got a cult vibe, though.
The percentage of people...
Hey, he's seen some shit, remember?
Yeah, he's seen some shit. The percentage of people
Doug
that
used to be live Doug,
there... I wouldn't drink that juice.
It's maybe 10% of the people that live there that hunt.
Really?
Yep. And it's just wild. So where all this was heading...
I love it. I mean, I got a history lesson. I learned some shit.
I run a shitload of trail cameras because, you know, with our unknown borders... There's two sections of timber that I'm, not majority, but that's where I spend my time hunting on Amana. There's like, I don't know, 12 or 13 different timbers. I would say I hunt two of them. One of my buddy hunts two of them. One of the other guys hunts two of them.
So they're spread out over like a span.
Yeah. It's like, so there's a road that circles the whole Amana colonies and it's 11 miles on the road.
Oh really?
Yep.
Damn.
So basically there's an unwritten rule.
I did the same thing. I burped into the mic while you burped away from the mic.
That you don't fuck with the other person's spot.
Okay.
It's an unwritten rule, basically. And it started way back with my dad's group and even
good
before
cult,
then.
Good cult rule to have.
So, you know, I run cameras. I run
all the cult rules.
Am I going to get shit for calling that a cult?
No. Because you're not.
I mean,
no,
the guys that are going to give you shit are sitting right here.
Hardly anybody even knows what a man is.
It's not a cult.
Yeah,
you're in it.
You would say that.
But
hey, don't tell me it's not a cult. You're in the
your
cult.
Eyes, man.
Hey, but you're German.
Between my...
Schnitzel.
Hey, I speak German. Don't even go there, homeboy.
Sorry. What's Geier mean in German?
I don't know.
Saint.
Bird or vulture, I think.
Mm. I'm straight German. I got two N's on the end of my name. That's German for sure.
Yep.
I think yours is like small.
Do you really speak German?
He's pretty good.
Mildly.
Yeah, you said you speak German.
I can carry on a conversation.
That's pretty impressive for not being anywhere near Germany.
Just say something.
Yeah. So, Amana, there's... Something. What do you want me to say?
Just say something in German.
That is the question that
just
I hate.
Say that's a big buck.
Most.
Say I like to hunt deer.
Say it's a big buck.
Das ist ein großen Hirsch. Hirsch, not Hirsch. But.
That was nice.
Yeah,
I believe it. I think I have like Google Translate or something.
So I'm going to go down a hole here. That's,
hey, nice.
That involves speaking German that you guys are going to love the shit out of.
Okay.
So my opa spoke fluent German. Mm-hmm. My dad, not so much. I can carry on a conversation. I'm not good by
anything. That's impressive.
So I took German in high school to expand on it. And my dad, growing up in Amana, Everybody around him spoke German. Well, my German teacher was from Germany. She was this little old lady. Frau Serio was her name. Frau is miss in German. My dad goes, hey, sometime when you're at school, ask Frau what nem nuna dein hose so it kann mit dein Lock spielen means and see what she says. And I'm like, all right. And we're in class. And I go, Frau, hey, I got a question for you. She's like, yeah, what's that? And I said, my dad told me to ask you this and ask what it means. And I said it. And she goes, Lee, go to the hall right now. And I'm like, what?
You had no idea what it meant.
I had no
right?
idea what it meant. You know, I was like a second year German student. And at that point, a lot of those words I didn't know. And she takes me out to the hallway and she's like, you can never say that again. And I'm like, why? What's it mean? She goes, it means lower your pants so I can play with your hole. I'm like, thanks, nice. Dad. Setting nice. Me up for a good one there,
your
man.
Dad did you dirty. That's amazing.
Hey, Brandon yeah. was a good guy, but yeah. your old man, he's a straight shooter right there.
Shit.
So did she?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Oh, Frau.
She was 75 years old.
Oh, Frau. Well, come on, Frau. I made her to life.
Holy rabbit hole, boys.
Yeah, let's
anyway, so that long was, story
that's
short.
That's a lesson, though.
Yeah. I say butthole.
I run a shitload of cameras because I cover a lot of ground.
Love your transition.
Yeah, yeah. Back to I just yeah, want to transition.
Jesus.
That.
Skip the part where you spooked my buck, but that's cool.
Let's talk about it.
Nah,
it's the one time we've hunted together.
It is the one time I've ever run a camera time. With him, and probably the only time we've ever hunted together, really.
No.
Like in the same tree.
100%.
So he hunted a manna and he goes, hey, can you come film me? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, I've run a camera for a guy before and we're in the stand. The buck that we went in there to kill, you should probably take this story over because you'll tell it a hell of a lot better than I will.
Well, it's pretty simple.
Okay. Get on your mic there, Josh. I'm sorry, buddy. You're good. You're good on it. Yeah, right. There you go, right there.
Pretty simple. I was like, hey, man, you're here. You're home. All right, let's go. It was late season muzzleloader. And I was like, I know you have some camera experience. You want to come with, whatever. Because, like, let's preface this with him and I hated each other growing up.
Yep.
Bad.
I love and that. now we're best friends.
Yeah. No, like, hated each other.
Why? What happened?
He was a year older than me. And he was like, kind of a douchebag. That's it. So, like,
Doug, do you think?
We got into a fight. No. We got into a fight at a birthday party one time.
Like, literally,
I've there's something more in
one there. Fight sex. In my life. It was with him.
Really? Yeah.
There's
it, it was over a freaking touch football game.
So, did you whip his ass or what?
I don't know. We both got in trouble.
Yeah, we both like, got detention.
It was literally
because it happened outside of school, so that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, perfect.
Back to the hunt. I was like, yeah, so we go hunt. We hang and hunt. It was a terrible idea in the first place. It was cold as shit. And I was like, holy fuck, there he is. And he was walking, and I was like, yeah, he's out of range. I'm like, I'm going to snort wheeze at him. You ready? You want him?
In January.
Yeah.
I'm going to snort wheeze. Get him in here. I'm like, all right, cool.
I got nothing.
Let him have it.
Give her the beans. He fucking starts coming. I'm like, holy shit, he's coming. Are you good? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, let's fucking do it. 40 in closing, and I just hear,
I coughed.
I was like,
I coughed.
Fucking just ran away.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, oh.
He was coming in, and I go, Josh, I got a tickle in my throat. I cannot get out. And he goes, do not cough. Do not cough. I'm like, dude, I can't keep it. I can't hold it in. And all of a sudden, I turn and tuck my head and just, and the deer was like,
that's all it took.
Right at us. And turned that's all it away. Took.
Yeah, that buck's heard it.
That buck looked at him and goes, you're 30.
Dude, that buck heard 160 cult members cough at him all season long. And he had enough. That was the last cough he was hearing from somebody in the cult.
Yeah.
And he was out of there.
The buck turned away. You're a cult.
That's pretty damn crazy.
It's a cult. Give it up. Get out while you can. The hunting's not worth the cult.
That's crazy to think it's the only time we've ever hunted together.
I know, man.
The one time, last time.
Dude, yeah. I wasn't invited back either. I really would have expected two cult members and hunt a lot more together. You know?
Man, shit. Thank God we're friends.
Let's get away from the Amanda conversation here.
Dark hole.
Small bucks, spook bucks.
So you kill an elk, you're in a cult. And
so I run a lot of cameras. This is like the fourth time I've said this now.
Yeah. Wait, cameras.
Hold on.
Do you run cameras?
Do you run cameras?
I run like 40.
Okay,
40
okay,
cameras.
Okay.
On cult ground, and then when I'm not on cult ground, I run a lot of cameras.
That's between all my places I have to hunt.
Yeah, in general.
And every year,
you're non-cult ground
on Amana. I would say I've
what's
got
the percentage.
Dude,
I'm just gonna keep talking. Yeah, yeah, let you guys bullshit around.
Power through.
We have got to get away from that.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So I run all these cameras.
Power through.
Every year I have I have 10 or so mature bucks on camera that are 140 plus.
Yeah.
And
you call them this... coal bucks. Oh, let's see. Oh, got you there.
Chicaca. Everybody shut the fuck up and let Lee talk for a little bit.
So, and every year they all, you know, a lot of them get killed from people. But this last year, the reason I didn't hunt there much, other than the fact that I had a freaking mega giant to hunt and a lot of other nice deer, EHD hit us for the first time. Hard.
Common in high dense deer population areas.
Right. But I would not say in Amana, the density is very high. Wasn't very high coming into this year.
Well, their population got cut in half from what you guys were saying. Yeah. Makes sense.
They drank the juice.
And
continually, you can do
it. It was the first, like I said, it's the first time it's truly hit us hard. We've had a few, you know, find a few by water here and there, but it was like a mass kill. I mean, I had going into the season, I had 11 bucks on a mana that I was like, if they come by, I'll shoot them, you know? And once the season started, one of them was alive.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
And so that's where this whole story started, because I had one good deer that I had a pattern on going into October. And I didn't, you know, was hesitant about going on the elk hunt because I had that deer and he was
predictable.
Fucked. He was fucked. And he died like right before, you know, I guess he quit showing up on my cameras. And somebody found him dead a couple weeks later, like the day before I left on my hunt. Yeah. So I got way off track there. Cause all the cult stuff, I can't remember what we were talking about.
Go back. You found the shed.
Okay. Yeah. I found the shed.
Thanks, Josh. That cold conversation was very necessary.
Yeah.
Necessary.
What's that, Josh?
That's part of our lives we left behind.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't leave behind. I still hunt there.
Hey, you can leave a cult, but still go back for the ladies.
What's up? That's hearsay.
Allegedly.
So, I was in a cult once.
Going into the season, I was going to kill Junkbrow in my mind. That was the deer I was hunting.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on the other podcast, but long story short, I came up with a hard date of November 10th. You could see why I wanted to kill him.
You say you want you to go in a little more depth about that, though. I mean, I think it's important to talk about, because there's a little bit of education there.
So. About the cutoff date?
What's that?
About which
the
part?
The cutoff date?
November 10th?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's worthy of conversation again in the great dilemma.
Okay. Yeah.
It's also worthy because Eric left. He's going to the potty. But when he comes back, I want to bring up the great dilemma as a group.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we talked about it. Well, Eric was here for the great dilemma on the Deercast podcast.
But and we can swing through the rest of the season, and then the great dilemma can come towards the end. What do you think?
Explain November 10th.
The deadline.
Yeah, the deadline. Because I think I want to get Austin's take on it and Doug's take on it a little bit because. Yep. I think Austin might have a hot take on that a little bit too. So
my thought process behind it was I found a shed there. He's going to show up at some point. You know, at some point that deer is going to be on that farm.
On 21 acres. Amazing.
21 acres.
When can you hunt it?
I can only hunt it during bow season. That was my agreement with the landowner.
Good job, Josh.
Yeah, good catch. Good catch.
Just trying to like Kurt.
Yeah. Just trying to steer that podcast.
That's right.
just whipping. Whipping shitty.
Yeah, so I could only archery hunt because the landowner hunts gun seasons.
Okay.
His kids youth hunt, so then they have in Iowa you can like take your youth tag over and you can hunt any gun season with a youth tag in Iowa. So they're gonna early muzzleloader hunt. So I can't hunt during early muzzleloader season, and then once the shotgun split happens, I can't hunt after that because it's shotgun straight into late muzzleloader. Mm-hmm. So I can only bow hunt. And I wanted to kill Junkbrow. I mean, I saw him once driving around. I knew he was a world-class deer. And talking with my dad is, like I said, he's a big buck killer. It was, that's the deer you're killing. Don't kill anything else. Don't settle. Like Clint says, don't fucking settle, man.
There it is. My dad told me. Files.
Yeah. He said, don't fucking settle. That is a world-class deer. You'll never get a hunted deer like that again in your life. And Josh is like, dude, you're, because I had like four other mature shooters on this 21 acres on camera. Wild. Josh is like, you're a fucking idiot. Well,
so like, again, you gotta listen to Deercast podcast, like get a full sense of this. But when you found the shed, what made the property good? And all of a sudden this 21 acres loads up with 4 to 6 4+ year old bucks. I'm like, hey, he's not a resident deer.
Yeah.
Also have to shout out to Brandon.
Shout out to Brandon.
Brandon, good guy.
I knew he spent most of his year 4 miles away.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I don't know if this deer lives on you, and like you got to take a bird in the hand here.
Which, and he doesn't, he didn't live on me, but he spent time on me come late season, as we come to find out. Mm-hmm. And I had two other bucks, one that I called the Trashy Eight, and one that we just called the Big Ten, which is that deer in the corner over there. And both of those were 170 plus inch deer. And Josh was like, dude, you're a freaking idiot. You've got giants. Like, kill one of them. If one of them comes by, don't not shoot him because you're waiting for that deer to show up. And him and I got into this argument about it. And basically I was like, all right, I'm going to set a date. And
I mean, it wasn't that I didn't want him to kill Junk Brow, but the
real, you're being realistic,
you know, yeah. Just like the information that we have, you're not going to kill him during bow season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, but
hey guys, sorry to interrupt this fantastic episode.
We're sorry.
We're sorry. Hey, Thermoseat, did you turkey hunt this year? Did your buck get cold? Did it get wet? Did it get muddy? Well, avoid mud butt with the D-wedge from Thermoseat.
That's right.
Don't get mud butt.
Dude, my butt was clean all season. What's up?
Hey, the cleanest of butts. No mud butt for Doug. Because he used code WCTS for Thermoseat on the D-wedge. And you can get a lot of other things, too. But the D-wedge is probably the most comfortable thing for ground hunting for turkey.
It's perfect.
So check it out. There's two different sizes. There's the self-support series, the wedge. There's the D-wedge, a little wider. But you can go with the – hell, you could use that there's the S2 hunting series. But you could use the traditional series tree stand hunter. Not as supportive, but if you want to go a little lighter, a little low profile.
Still keeping that booty clean.
Yeah. You still got that
warm.
Hey,
they even have an insulated body mat. You can take a nap out there.
Hey, one of them for like working under shit on a cold garage floor.
Yep.
Something to think about.
Ice fishing.
They got dog beds too.
Yep. Take a nap.
Code WCTS Thermoseat. Also, Trophy Line. Did you just listen to the episode we did with Trophy Line? Great people.
If not, you should have.
It's a fun episode.
Go back Absolutely. And listen to it.
Go back, listen to it. Just do it. Code WCB if you're looking to get into saddle hunting, mobile hunting of any kind. The Mission platform is the bigger of the two platforms. The EDP platform, the carry all your shit 2.0 backpack. Hey, you need knee savers because you got bitch knees. They got those for you too. That's probably a shit.
You got bitch knees?
Yeah.
You got bitch knees. The Covert Light saddle, the Covert Prime saddle, which is cool. That's like a limited edition deal. Like you can get numbered ones, which is cool. And Ropeman ones, they have all sorts of stuff. You can buy bundles.
Everything you need.
Everything you need for mobile hunting.
Getting that saddle.
In the saddle game. Gay or not.
Get back on that saddle.
Code WCB. Gay or not. Sorry. Also, HHA Sports shooting the Tetra single pin sight.
That's right.
Lifetime warranty. They support our veterans. They support our veteran shout out. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
HHASports.com. And you can use code WCB15 on there to save yourself some coin. Also, Victory Archery. I'm shooting the RIP TKO. Sorry, I didn't mean to bundle you in with what I'm doing,
Gee
Eric.
You whiz.
I am too.
I'm the VAP SS's this year.
I was going to switch a bunch up for some of the heavier game we're going to be shooting. I'm shooting those 75 grain inserts with a heavier head.
You'll be all right.
And I think I'll be good where I'm at. The weight was pretty – my weight now is similar to what Austin and Ross had for their moose hunt.
Oh, really?
So within 75 grains or so.
I think we'd still be fine with what we got now.
We're fine. I was zinging right through them.
VictoryArchery.com. You can find the arrows there. If you can't find them there, Black Ovis Arrow Builder. You can order a custom set of arrows through the arrow builder.
They cut them for you.
Yes. And get on there. You can build your arrow there. They build them and ship them to you.
They do everything.
But do it now. So you're not pushing it. don't be that guy.
Yeah,
don't order them in October. Okay.
Well, it's.
And then ask where to call every day where they're at.
Hey, I'm going to need those. And Slick Trick Broadheads. Code WCB for all Outdoor Group products, actually, if they're a partner or not. From the Assailant, the new broadhead. I killed a pile of shit last year with it. My muley, they're devastating.
Kill my whitetail with them this year.
They're devastating. And the Raptor Trick, that's been one of our favorites. The Viper Tricks are currently our favorite fixed blade.
I said it's an OG.
The Viper Trick? Oh, the Raptor Trick.
Raptor Trick's an OG.
We've been shooting that a long time.
I'm still using them.
It's a good head. It's a real good head.
Till the season.
So check them out. Code WCB at slicktrick.net. And back to the episode. Thanks for letting us bother you.
In the end,
percentage wise,
you were kind of right.
Yeah, you were right. No, yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't right. That's not what it's about.
Yeah, but you were giving good advice to a good friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Realistic.
Did I want him to kill that deer? Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like you have two booners on camera. Only so many mature bucks can live in a certain area.
Here's what you did, Josh, and I'm standing up for you here. And I think
I was kind of an asshole.
No, I disagree. I think you were being realistic. Mm-hmm. Because if I would call, like, Austin's in my circle of big buck call guys, I would want him to tell me what you told him. Because that's realistic.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I want you to kill a Boone and Crockett with your bow. He wasn't telling you not to kill a Boone and Crockett.
Right, exactly. He wasn't saying shoot. There was one other deer that I called the old man 10 that was like 150-inch mature deer. He wasn't saying shoot that deer. He was saying if one of those two booners walks by, freaking kill it.
You
don't
got
be
to.
An idiot.
You
have don't to. Be an idiot.
You got right. to.
And so long story short, we came to the cutoff date. You know, me and Josh kind of, and it was more or less my cutoff date.
I was like, I'm not part of that.
That's your decision.
November 10th, because I thought.
It's your tag.
If he's going to show up, it'll be before November 10th to come check does.
Yep.
That was my thought process.
Yep. And fair.
Which
and
fair. After I killed him, long story short, come to figure out there was another guy. So my buddy was 4 miles northwest of me, Brandon was, and then northeast of him, straight north of me, 4 miles from me, 3 miles from him. That's where Junkbrow spent the rut. So he was a freaking traveler. His area was huge, huge, huge.
For a seven.
I think 7.5.
Predictably seven.
Teeth will come in the next month or so. We'll find out.
Yeah. And that's interesting. Normally you think they shrink down.
But the only thing I would say is where I live, it is crop ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
With crick draws and a few little patches of timber.
And then as we're talking, the Duray show probably played some part.
Played
of
a
that.
Role. Yep.
Yep. So Austin, I guess what I wanted to get his hot take was about this limit of November 10th. Did that layout clear enough for you?
You just kind of picked November 10th in your head because you figured there you had your best chance of catching him checking does.
Yeah, I figured by that point, you know, you're going into the lockdown phase.
Yeah, he's
going
to be locking down that.
In my mind, if he was going to show up and I was going to get the opportunity to kill him during bow season, it would have been October 25th to November 10th.
Yeah,
in
that window. I could agree with that. And, you know, you found a piece of the puzzle there. You found a shed on the 22 acres the year prior, so that tells you a little bit about his winter habits. He might winter there, but if you can't winter hunt him, then it's right. Like, you know, I would agree with what you said.
But when does he show up? That was my thing. I had no idea. And Brandon, you know, he would have pictures periodically throughout the year. You know, it wasn't like he was every day on his farm.
Mm-hmm. He's coming back checking that piece.
Yeah. And he was just checking pockets of timbers.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
Moving, mm-hmm. moving pockets.
He wasn't getting up from bed right in front of his cameras every day. Right, yeah. Right. I think you said a real, as we talk through it, I'm on board, you know?
Yep.
So, hey, what do you do? Well, let's talk about November 10th. Like, what else happened?
November 10th comes along, and my number one deer that I knew about was the Trashy 8, because he was just cool. He was a 152, 3-inch mainframe 8 with a bunch of junk.
Big 8.
The neighbor ended up killing him the day after I killed. And so November 10th, I go in, I climb in the stand, and it's one of those days that, well, DeerCast said, great, and went and got in the stand with not a lot of time left. I get to the stand. I don't have very good cell service. 45 minutes before I get in the stand, the Trashy 8 walked by. And I'm like, motherfucker. And I figured.
MRI.
The shitty thing about cell cams.
Dude. Yep.
Shitty and thing about cell cams.
You call me like
you know too much sometimes.
Yeah. So my thought process was, I'm not a huge, in my younger career, I rattled all the freaking time. Just like a lot of people. You know, it's cool to see two-year-olds come blowing in. So my thought process was, there's a chance he's close enough he'll hear me. It was only 45 minutes. There's a chance he's only a couple hundred yards away.
Never know.
So I freaking beat the horns loud, hard to get him to come in. Set the horns down. About 10 minutes goes by, and I hear something. So I'm on the south side of that creek that separates the property, and I hear something on the north side coming over, and I glance back, and it's the Big Ten. And Josh and I had had the conversation a lot of times that I'm not passing him because – I think he's a four-year-old. I think he was a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Would your neighbor pass him?
No. My neighbor was going to kill him.
Oh, dude. Who wouldn't kill that deer?
But I thought, you know, he's a four... I thought he was a four-year-old, so I was like, he blew 40 inches from last year to this year, because I have one of his sheds from that day I found junk brush shed, and I thought, man, what if he blows to 180 some inch typical, you know?
Can't think about that shit.
I know. But yeah, it's ingrained in me.
If you had him on a 160 where he could live, you know, right. you're hunting a 22-acre piece with neighbors that are out for him.
But
kill the motherfucker.
I haven't talked about this yet. So the 22 that I hunt and the 19 that the one neighbor hunts butts up to like...
These are small, small pieces.
Yeah. But it butts up to 300 to 400 that nobody hunts.
Yeah, it's sitting in the right spot.
Yeah, and it's a funnel. Basically, it's a pinch point.
You're essentially hunting 400 acres. You just have to hunt the same spot every time.
But I have to hunt on the 20 acres.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So my thought process was he's probably going to, if the neighbor doesn't kill him or the landowner late season doesn't kill him, he's going to live. You know, there's nobody else around that hunts. So I was 100% not going to kill him. I processed my elk meat on November 6th, and I had a picture of him that morning in daylight under my stand, and I was like, oh, man, it's a good thing, you know, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Josh is stirring.
The whole time, Josh, every day, Josh is like,
I just remember all these conversations, because, like, I could tell he had this, like, internal, you know, it's like, what do I do?
His inner cult like, demons stop, tearing like, him apart.
Stop sending it to me. Like, I'm going to tell you the same answer. Fucking kill him.
He had Lee on one side, Josh on the other, just screaming at him. I don't know which way to go.
The devil was junk brow on this side. Yeah. Josh was the angel on this side.
You want to kill me.
And again, like, dude, it was just situational. It was like a bird in the hand type of thing. It's
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah.
Where you're at, I mean, I have a lease of 300 acres, and I have zero deer look like any of these.
right.
You know, like, you can't hunt late season, which in my mind, I was like, that is potentially going to show up. That night, I was like, hey, yeah, go in there and kill
him. Yeah.
So I rattle. I look over.
We're back to November 10th.
Yes, November 10th.
November 10th.
I rattle. I look over.
The cutoff date.
The cutoff date.
You deadline. Cut off. I don't know if that's what people do or not.
I look on the north side of the creek, and it's him. And instantly, I'm like, I got to shoot that fucker.
Oh, yeah.
No question in my mind.
Have you seen him on the hoof?
That was the first time I saw him on the hoof.
That was our conversations every day. I'm like, listen, let's talk about this when you see one of them. You know,
right.
It's like, it was very easy to be like, I'm not going to shoot either of them. I'm like,
when you're looking at your phone. But
right.
Yeah.
When you see him on the hoof, that's a whole different story.
But I saw his right side. He was kind of in some shit, and I saw his right side, and I saw that G3, and I was like, wow, that's long.
Yeah, that's a slam.
And I was like, man, I gotta kill him. So I draw back. He's across the creek. He's at like 32-33 yards. Settle my pin, and I shoot a thumb release, shoot, and I shoot lighted knocks. The knock doesn't light up, and it's kind of hazy dark because it was like cloudy, rainy that day, and there was an hour and a half of daylight left, but I still could barely see my arrow because it was just a storm rolling in. You know how it's right. Super dark.
Yep.
It's always gray out. Type thing. Yeah.
I remember
when you FaceTimed me. I was like, what do you mean you're hunting? I can't see. I was at my house. Yeah. I was like, I can't even see outside. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And it just, I was like, dude, deer cast is great. And it just, it's one of those in my bones feelings. You know how you get that as a deer hunter?
You know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my bones.
Deep in my bones.
I shoot him. I pull the trigger. Instantly, I'm like, fuck, I know man's landed him. Instantly, I that's what I thought. Because he came in on the downwind side of me. He was a little alert.
Nervous, yeah.
And there was it's along a creek, so there's tall grass. So I basically aimed at the grass line because I was like, I can't punch through the grass. And I think it'll throw my arrow enough at that distance, which was a vital hit. You know, it would have been mid to high lung probably.
Yeah.
And he kind of ducks a little bit and wheels. And I'm like, fuck, I know man's land him. So I instantly called Josh and I'm like, I just shot the big 10 that I said I wasn't going to shoot. And he goes, nice, man, nice. And I'm like, but I'm pretty sure I know man's landed him. And the whole conversation goes on, talk about where I thought I hit him. And we thought I was high enough where
Josh yells at you.
No, I mean, honestly, what I went through was like, you know, I started
get tight on that mic, Josh. I'm sorry,
my bad.
No, it's our fault.
No, it's all good. I worked for Mark since September, and the amount that I had learned from him up until that point in November was just like
astronomical.
I was just like, what happened in the first 40 yards? What did you see? You know, like when we video hunts, like the information that you get from that, it's really like invaluable.
Yeah.
And I was like, did his tail tuck? Did he, you know, did he like walk off the field? And he's like, I don't know.
When he
like
pivoted and turned.
He just went. And I was like, I mean, I think the fucker's dead. I mean, I don't know.
He just went like that.
Haul assed right away. Yeah. And when he turned and went back where he came from, there was brush. I couldn't see. I could see the first like five steps and then he disappeared.
It's a good sign when they blast out hard.
That's
like
a good
that.
Point, Josh. Like there's a lot there. Like, especially like learning some shit from Mark Drury, the man.
Before I worked there, I did not realize how much information is in that first 10 seconds.
Yeah.
He's a mad scientist.
I mean, dude, the mad scientist.
Shout out to Mark.
Dude, well, I'm telling you.
You're the best boss.
Dude, ever. I'll tell you. If Mark's listening, hey, Mark. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Are you listening? Good to have you here. I've had other people like debate the whitetail OG. I'm telling you.
Dude.
I've been to his place. He's the OG. There's no debate with
I'm
me.
I'm not
no
saying more. That next he's level. My boss. It's because it's like he has taught me and humbled me. Multiple times.
I don't have to say that on this series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to say it on the other one. That's why Mark hit us up and contracted us for DeerCast.
Yep.
I'm telling you, the dude's an OG. You want to know shit about whitetails? Don't argue with Mark Drury.
Yep.
He will tell you what's up with whitetails. There's no arguing. He's going to tell you.
He knows.
And that's legit. Respect. And that's all it is.
He gave me his grace with a junk brow. That's the first time I met him. I was down there taking something to Josh. And Josh was like, yeah, he's hunting a really big deer. And Mark was like, cool, how big is he? And I go, oh, he's like, I think he's like 190. He goes, cool, kill him. And that night I killed him.
No shit.
He blessed you.
Yep. He blessed me.
He knighted you there.
Yep.
You will kill this deer.
But going back to November 10th, it was just good luck. And I was like, what'd you see? And he told me, he's like, he just ran. Like, I was like, oh man, I don't know. Like,
something to it.
But the problem was, so in Iowa, you cannot track without blood. And what he mentioned, there's a front coming through, rain washed every drop away.
So I got down.
That was in the DeerCast podcast. This is where the neighbor.
The whole neighbor dilemma, this starts.
This is where this picks up from that episode.
Yep.
So people listen to that episode. That's where this cross promotes to this episode.
Yep.
So.
Fuck you, Doug. We don't need you in here anyway.
I shoot him. He hauls ass. It starts like literally. 2 minutes later, it starts downpouring, and I'm like, well, shit, I got to get out and look for blood, you know, because in Iowa,
you
have to have blood, or you can have permission, but you have to have blood at the fence line to be able to track without permission.
Without permission.
You have to try to get permission first, and then if they tell you no, you can leave your bow behind and track.
Yep.
So I went to the fence line right away where I assumed he ran in, and there was blood right there at the fence line, but it washed away. You know, it was watery by that time, and it was 5 minutes after I shot him. So I'm just like, without knowing where I hit him, I'm just going to leave him till tomorrow. So I go to the landowner's house, and they're pretty skeptical about letting people underground. And I tell him, I'm like, hey, you know, I hunt the neighbors. I hit this buck. I had blood to the fence line. Just trying to ask you permission to go look for him.
Are these the neighbors that even hunt also?
No, these are the neighbors that don't hunt.
But even you don't technically need their permission.
He does because the blood was washed away.
Because you have to you have to be on blood.
Yep.
You can't just go grid search
you
without
have to prove,
permission.
Hey, look, here's the blood.
You have to be on blood.
Let's go back to Lee's ethics here. I don't think there's very many people.
Your cult has great ethics, dude.
fuck.
Never getting away from that.
No, never. But so I ask him, and I'm like, the blood's going to be gone.
For real, though, that's
seriously
pretty awesome of you.
Yeah.
Like, all jokes aside on that, like, that's pretty cool.
Because 90% of the people would not have done this.
Yeah, and that's...
Nobody would have.
No.
That's stemming from my dad.
Would I have? Yeah, maybe.
For sure you would have.
I would have for sure.
I believe in you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. That's stemming from my dad, man.
Sure.
Wasn't a yes.
Wait, is this on video? Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So next day.
No, you did the right thing.
So I tell him, I'm like, the blood's going to be washed away. There's no.
You can't. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. I said, I got to look for him, you know, and he used to be a hunter. We were talking out there. He used to be a big deer killing SOB. He's got a lot of big deer on his wall, but he'd rather watch him now. And he shoots a doe or two for meat a year, but he would rather pick up the sheds and see the big deer in his yard, essentially, which his yard is.
So by law, if he says no, you can't go on there.
Right. By law, if he tells me no,
that's it.
It is what it is. Yeah.
So I tell him, I said, this is where he was. This is where he ran. And they've got like this really nasty thick bottom that's like 20 acres. And there's a four-wheeler trail on the top side because they ride their four-wheeler side by side through it about every day. And he said, you can grid search this bottom, but don't cross that four-wheeler path.
And you're talking, that's like, what, 100? 150 yards?
No, it's like 400 yards.
What's this deal with the four? I mean, maybe you don't know. But.
Well, it was just like he didn't want me tromping all over his ground, essentially.
Respect.
So he gave me a hard line that's obvious.
He's growing marijuana over there.
Yeah. that's obvious to see, you know.
You're probably right, Eric, but shout out to him for letting you go.
So I get in this bottom, and it's like nasty, woolly, moldflower rose, river bottom grass. I can't see me to you, Kurt. I can't see 5 feet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to step on the deer, basically. But I grid searched the thing to the holy living shit and no luck. Go back next couple, well, fly my drone the next day, you know, called the CO to make sure it was kosher. And he said, yeah, if he's alive, you can't pursue him in Iowa. But if he's dead, you know, that you can use a drone. And long story short, don't find him with the drone. Go look for crows, listen for coyotes the next day, nothing. And I'm like, man. I hit him. I mean, I had to have hit him well enough to kill him. I thought, you know, after looking at DeerCast track and talking with Josh,
at this point, how many days is it after you shot him?
So the next day is when I grid search. And then the day after that, I flew the drone. So it's two days after I shot him.
Okay.
And I'm talking with Josh and he's like, well, the next day after that, he was like, well, go hunt, you know, go hunt. And a couple of my other buddies were like, go hunt, you know, you didn't kill him. You'd have found him in that first 400 yards if he was mortally wounded. And it's just one of those bow hunter feelings. Well,
that's not what I said.
I like this.
No, I'm sorry. That's not what I said.
Josh.
I talked to a lot of people about it, man.
It was just like, with the reaction you saw, what I was upset about was the fact that the landowner wouldn't go pursue past that. Because what we thought at the end of the day was like, if you didn't find him in that window, maybe you single lunged and something. Which if you start talking single lung and liver... Okay.
A few hundred yards.
Past that.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up here.
Neighbor's got a marijuana farm.
Yeah. They're definitely just super, which I'd be the same way. I mean, if I owned ground like that, I'd be like, meh, I'll go with you. You know, I'd go with somebody.
I'd go with them at least. Right? Yeah.
But they're an older couple, you know, it's irrelevant. You know, I searched what they let me search. Didn't find him.
Do they have a tie-dye Volkswagen van?
No, they didn't.
Okay. The only reason I know they grow marijuana, I've been on a farm like this.
I just want to say this.
You can't go past this point.
We're going to ignore all those things, Lee. They are great people.
Yeah, they are.
We have made a good relationship since then. None of that's actually true.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting permission on there at some point.
Yeah, I bet you they are great people.
And I'm trying to buy a 40 from them.
Yeah.
Where do they live?
Pump them up, guys.
I mean, but I'll New definitely Hampshire. Say that
we need some coordinates.
They didn't need to let you on, but it's very cool that they did.
Yeah, exactly. And that stems from him being an old hunter.
An old hunter. Yep. Yeah, that's. I mean, mad respect for him for. He just wants to watch deer.
Yep.
You know, I get that.
Well, if he went with you, he'd been like, you know, that 400 yards. He let you search. He'd be like, well, you know, it's probably not dead.
I'm surprised he didn't go with you.
I'm surprised.
So the reason he didn't, when I asked him, he said, "You can search that bottom," and he said, "I would go with you. But that bottom sucks." He said, "You can't hardly walk there."
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's why he didn't go with me.
Yeah.
But so 2 weeks later.
I wonder if he was like, man, if you really hit one, that's the effort you got to put. You know what I mean? I wonder if that was like part of it. He knew.
Yeah. Yep.
Which if you really killed a deer, you're going. I mean, you wouldn't have asked if you wouldn't have shot one. But, you know, I don't know.
So I did not bow hunt another time because to me. When I, and a lot of people are going to call me an idiot for this. When I hit a deer and I think it's a shot that should be good enough to kill him, that's the deer that my tag's going on.
You're an idiot.
That is the deer that my tag is meant for.
I respect
and it's
that.
It's just a moral thing. And I had a gut feeling, you know, if I knew the deer was alive, I'd go hunt another deer.
Like if you had a picture of him or something like that.
If I had a picture of him, but nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing. And I, on that 21 acres, I had 9 cameras.
That's where I went. I was like, is he alive? Because like, every deer besides the 10 kept showing up.
Well, and the trashy 8 because the neighbor killed him the day after I killed. And, well, killed
him.
You
knew he was dead.
Yeah, so I knew he was dead. So it was like, I could go kill the old man 10. But it was just one of those stone gut feelings that I was like, he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's not alive. He's dead. He's laying dead somewhere.
How many sleepless nights did you have?
A lot.
Say 2 weeks.
Because it was just one of those gut feelings that I was like, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's in there dead somewhere. So we get 2 weeks down the road, first shotgun season in Iowa comes, and I am back in Amana hunting with my family, doing our shotgun pushes. That's where I do my camaraderie thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We talked about that on the other episode.
Culture type.
Yeah, stuff, you know, yeah. the deer camp, you know?
Cult, sure.
Yeah.
Keep going, keep going.
I'm on like the second drive of the day and my phone rings and it's that landowner's phone number. And I'm like, there's only one reason he'd be calling me. Mm-hmm.
Just throws his shotgun. Yep, I'm answering this.
He goes, and I was in a drive being the dog, you know.
The bird dog, yeah.
The bird dog. And I'm like, hey, you know, how's it going? He goes, hey, my wife was riding her horse yesterday and found your buck. You know, if you want it, you can have it. And I'm like, yup, be there tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
So
did you beat cheeks home?
I finished out the day, and then I left my bow tag at home, and I had my wife's uncle, so my uncle-in-law, I guess.
Yeah.
Put the tag on it. My wife was coming that night. I had her bring it with, you know. And this is where it relates to Chandler's buck, because they just whopped the head off because it was coyotes that ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
The head was still intact. You know, there's still some fur on the head, but the whole body was gone.
Yeah.
And I posted pictures like that of me just holding the head with the tag on. You know, I told the story, blah, blah, blah. And sorry, Austin, but I didn't have anything bad come of it.
Well, you know? God forbid we were honest about it, huh?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and it's a whole different ballgame. I'm not in the public eye, you know?
Yeah.
That makes a little bit of a difference. We've kind of got a little bit of a spotlight on us.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Guys are going to scream. But
yeah, spotlight on deer is what yep. we got.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. Awesome of them to give
that,
me that.
That is
know?
Very cool.
You know? And
that's
it
very
was
cool.
closure for me. And
just, well, shows it was a fatal hit.
How much further was he?
That's what I was just gonna ask. Like, how much closer was he from where you stopped?
The marijuana farm.
She was riding her horse on the four wheeler path.
Oh shit!
It was 75 yards over the four wheeler path. But full circle, come to the shed season, they find my arrow, and it is way up by their house.
Oh really?
Yeah,
it kind of circled around,
which is like a half mile. And based on what the broadhead looked like, the one. Blade, that's the word I'm looking for. I couldn't think of the word. Was bent to shit. So I think I hit the shoulder blade, caught the top of one lung, and he made a, you know, because those one lung deer, they're going to make a big loop.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, they're going to make a big circle, come back to where they were shot, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what it was is I one lunged him. He was going up that way, lost the arrow up by their house. Made a circle back and died. So I personally don't think he was dead when I was looking. You know, now that...
I think he died like a week later, a couple weeks later?
I mean, it could be a couple days. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think... I mean, obviously it was before 2 weeks later. But just based on where they found the arrow and where he was ended up dead, I think he was making a circle.
Yeah.
And just took time to make the circle. And I would just, you know, gut says 2 to 3 days.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
Hung up here a little bit, made his loop back, and ended up dying either from...
He's a beautiful buck, dude.
Bleeding along.
For sure.
Well, he's clean, too. There's no trash. He's pretty symmetrical. I mean, that's a nice net and deer.
Yeah, he's I don't remember what he was, wide, 19 wide.
He reminds me a lot of my first buck that I shot this year. Mine's got shorter twos on him, but when I'm looking at your shed from last year and the jump that this deer made, my deer was the same way. He was a three-year-old this year and then killed him at four.
Yep.
And made a 40-inch jump.
Yep, and that's exactly what this deer did. And in my experience, 3 to 4 are big jumps.
Yep.
And 5 to 6 are big jumps.
Yep.
He's got that dark rack to him, too.
4 to 5 is when I see... a pretty mild jump.
10,
typically.
15,
yeah. 10 to 15 inches. And I think that 3 to 4 is a 20 to 30 inch jump. Obviously, genetics pending, nutrition pending, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then 5 to 6, another big one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a beautiful deer. I mean, not crazy brow tines, but carries his mass really well.
Good brows, though.
Yeah.
21 acres.
21 acres.
That's insane, man.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. And both of my deer came off of that 21 acres. And
pretty impressive.
I say it all the time. You don't have to have a good piece. You don't have to have a big piece. You just have to have a good piece.
That's right.
You know,
right.
It doesn't matter the size. If it's.
I was showing you some pictures earlier. Mm-hmm. That's a 1 acre piece.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Easy.
But yeah, he's all around a really good deer. Looking at the pictures on the camera, I thought he was going to be 65 and he ended up 171 and 7/8.
Yep. That's awesome, man.
I'm a round up guy. I'm 172, you know.
Well, that's, you don't pass that deer.
No. Nope.
November 10th, that's where the real story starts.
Yep. So that's when it gets weird, I suppose you could say. So the landowner hunts shotgun season, late muzzleloader. I tell him, I'm going to leave my cameras out, you know. I'll tell you if any good deer come in, whatnot. So I go the first day of muzzleloader season to pull my stagnant cameras, my non-cell cameras.
I love that term, by the way, stagnant cameras. I mean, that's a good way to put it.
You know, the way, sure. By the way, the reason
if you have to go to the bathroom from drinking beer,
I'm going to have to here shortly.
Yeah, I didn't want to make
Why don't we do that now? Because it's a good segue between killing that deer.
Do your thing. I'll bullshit with some of these guys here and cut the time here.
Yeah.
You bullshit the bullshitters?
Now that Lee's off the mic, let's talk about his cult. What do you guys think about that? Is that weird or what?
Dude, he's in too deep. He needs to get out.
He's already out.
He's still in.
We're still getting to the great dilemma.
He's got like 3 feet in.
So the great dilemma is an interesting thing. It's not really a dilemma. It's more of like it's a fun thing he's going to break down. He's going to ask you and Doug.
Like a what would you do situation.
Yeah, what would you do situation. And I feel like it's a situation that's coming up. It's probably more common than what we expect. We talked about that on the other podcast as well. It's very rare that we do two podcasts with the same person on both series. But we're diving in a little more. With this one than we did the previous one. So it's kind of fun this way. So you kind of get both a little, both and more.
But, both and more?
Yeah, we got to talk about some turkeys with you, Austin, and we're not going to do it in full detail now, but we got some turkey episodes to do.
Yep, we got a little content.
Yeah, guts.
We need some more.
Quite a bit of turkey content.
I haven't seen shit.
Me neither.
I've dropped the ball on my first season tag in Illinois.
That's all right. It's only 5 days. It's kind of tough to fill that first one.
That is tough.
I fucked up. I should have got like second or third season in Illinois instead of first.
Birds really react to the decoys for me in that first and second season. I always get first and second season.
Josh has already been killing birds in Nebraska.
Nice. Killed one. Yeah.
Awesome.
Turkey season 22, the killer episodes, man.
Yeah, March 25th. It's
March 25th.
Yeah, it's an early season. Wow. We started going out there.
Beautiful footage, by the way.
Shout out to Carson.
Dude, Carson killed it, man.
Carson,
I like Carson.
I like Carson, too.
Should have brought him along on this one.
Yeah, well.
Next one.
He's editing Turkey Season 22. He's busy.
Yeah, he's busy.
They're killing
him and Perry need to come next.
That's the group you want. I agree.
You, Perry, Carson.
Not the group you want.
We do want that group.
You need two of three.
Wade's
reason. I have a question.
Yeah.
What's up?
So, Josh, who do you think has a better facial hair, that one or Perry, right?
So, Doug or Perry, better facial hair?
Perry, I love your lamb chops. Now, what does he have? He has the fucking...
It's a Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu?
I'm going to be busting mine out.
Here's what I'm going to say. Perry, you're engaged. Congratulations. Keep it going, Doug.
Congratulations, Perry. Doug, you got a lot of work ahead of you.
Doug is not getting engaged with a mustache.
You guys haven't met Perry?
Perry is one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever met in my life when it comes to...
I felt, and this is not in a not in a gay way. I was going to use some worse terms. I got to check myself with the gay stuff.
You almost let it out.
I almost let out you got some hate in your heart letting
you
it
out. You almost slipped.
It's Oops. Not, though. It's just me. I say certain words because they're funny, not because I mean them.
Okay. What do you got?
You're
what
a comedian.
I felt the connection to Perry. Like, he's just like our people.
Perry's good shit.
Yeah. Like, hanging out with them at the old, was it the West Side Tavern?
I wasn't there because I was a little under the weather, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you were sick. But we went out to the West Side Tavern or East Side Tavern, whatever side of it, of wherever we were at.
West Side.
The blue latte flu.
It is bad. It's some ghetto stuff.
Perry's awesome. He's our people.
Yeah.
You guys love Perry.
Yep.
So you're saying my mustache is better?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It gets rolled less.
Perry, but
nerd.
It's got less miles on it.
Hashtag two tags. Hashtag two tags.
Yeah.
Perry's tagged out.
Eat shit.
Hey, what's up? I was a little different over here. Okay, we're moving on. Are we at the great dilemma yet? No, not
we
quite.
Were getting there.
We're getting there.
So after I killed that buck, obviously my agreement with the landowner was no hunting during gun season. So late muzzleloader rolls in. I keep my cameras up. I say, I'll let you know, that old mature 10 pointer still out there. It'd be great. He's got two boys. One's like 11 and one's 14. Be a great deer for one of them to kill. Cause they're, you know, they're big farmers. They kill deer to kill deer, you know?
Mike etiquette is on point.
Sorry, burp. they kill deer to help their crops out. That's why they're killing deer. And they do it for fun, you know? So I tell them, I'm like, you know, this deer would be a good one for your boys. You know, it's pretty big. It's a respectable, mature deer. So I go to pull my stagnant cameras, on the opening day of late muzzleloader. Cause I'm like, I got some other places I can hunt. I'm going to put them up and see what's around. I pull the one camera and there's a freaking picture of Junk Brow on it that morning. And that's what that's his nickname is Junk Brow. That's what I called this deer. And Brandon called this deer. Shout out to Brandon.
What's up, Brandon? How you doing, buddy?
That morning he's coming
opening
in.
Day of muzzleloader.
Opening day of muzzleloader season. I call Brandon cause it's like the evening that I'm checking the cameras, evening ish, midday. And he goes, you're fucking kidding me. And I said, no, I had a picture of him this morning. He goes, I'm headed out to hunt him right now, 4 miles from where he was this morning.
That's got to be a bad feeling.
Yeah. Yep. And Brandon has...
Shoot at 120.
No, Brandon's a big buck killing SOB, man. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of permission, manages really well, and he's a big deer killer. So anyways, long story short, I get a bunch of pictures of the deer, and I'm sitting with... talking with Josh, and I'm like, dude, he showed up, but I can't hunt. Like, do I just ask the guy if I can hunt on the days he can't hunt? And if I kill him, I kill him. And Josh is like, just think long term. If you freaking go in there and you just get permission to hunt that place and you kill that deer, he's going to tell you to get screwed and you're going to be done. Like, think long term. This farm's going to produce a lot of big deer for you in the future. Don't be an idiot, basically. I mean, don't be stupid.
What it came down to me is like, for me, for whitetails, it's all about the story, right? Whether big deer, small deer, mature, it doesn't matter. You talked about your daughter, your stepdaughter's, you know, last year. You had
pull that mic down just a bit.
You had a full story with this deer. You wouldn't be able to tell it the way you wanted to if you had killed him that way. You know what I mean? So I was like, there you go. That's your answer. The fact that he was calling me, I was like, you already know the answer to this question. Yeah. But, right. You know, it was just like...
Valid point.
Josh is level-headed as fuck.
Dude, he is. He is.
And I was just like... For me, it was like, there's two ways this can go. You go... Selfishly, I was really happy he showed up late season. Because I was like, I have been an asshole the entire fall. Yes, I'm glad he's here. But I was like, either the landowner kills him, one of the kids kills him. You do a lot of good service that way, right? You help them. You stuck true to your word, which is I will put my cameras out. I'm going to help you out. Or you just tell him the full story, and he says, go do it. I mean, it's like either way, it's a win-win for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he can hold his head high. If you do it the other way, which is like, can I just happen to hunt the days that you can't hunt, and I happen to kill a 204? And with the days of social media, and he tells his full story.
Yeah.
We're talking about on a podcast right now.
Yeah. He'd know.
You can't end up well. You know what I mean? Like,
he would know at
being
some
a farmer, you know, we talked about on the other podcast, maybe it doesn't mean as much to him, but don't insult the man.
100%.
Let's go back to the fact that he owns the ground.
Right.
Yeah. You know what
the
I mean?
The dude has to be such an awesome guy.
Yeah. He is.
He's not a guy leasing the ground, giving you permission.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean?
The guy has to be, he sounds kick ass.
He is. He's a good dude, man. And he's actually given me permission on the rest of his farm this year. So
see, he trusts you.
Yep.
And he should trust you.
Yep.
Wait, what's this guy's name?
Name another deer hunter, though, that would do that. And, like, that's the not thing. Many. Is like, at the end of our conversation, I'm like, you got to do what feels right. I'm excited to hear how it goes.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, that says a lot about you, and it says a lot about the guy who owns the ground. And it sounds like you guys have a good trust relationship, which is what you need and he needs for his ground. Not only are you going to be responsible and hunting his ground and killing mature deer, but you're going to keep other fuckheads off his ground. You care for his ground like he would care
like
for
it's
his
mine.
Ground. Yeah.
Yep. Right. So one of the times I was bow hunting, and this property's hard to get into, so you got to be pretty select on when you're hunting. One of the times I was hunting, there was somebody trespassing on it squirrel hunting, and I called him. I was like, hey, there's somebody squirrel hunting. Did you give anybody permission? He goes, no. And I said, well, you want me to kick him off? You know? Because I hate messed up hunts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, I mean, they're not supposed to be there. I don't really care, but sure.
Kick them off. Yeah.
Yeah. Go kick
them off. Well, and I think too, like you go in there and telling him, hey, this giant deer is there, like being respectful about it. He could have been like, hey, this guy's respectful. He told me this giant deer was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that could have gave him a lot more respect for yourself.
Right. So
is
long term, that's what Josh and I, in the end, it was my decision. yep. to do it how I wanted to. I value Josh's opinion more than anybody. You know, he's like my best friend, one of my best friends in the world. Him and my cousin would be my top two best friends.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon.
And Brandon.
Shout out to Brandon.
Shout out to Brandon.
So come to the conclusion that I'm going to more or less beg to hunt him, you know?
Yeah.
Go to his door, say, you know, between me and my buddy, we know about this deer. He normally lives about 4 miles away from here during the majority of the year. And he showed up. And I've hunted him a little bit, not really, but I've hunted him on the public ground, sat for him with not very likelihood of him coming in. I know that you and your boys late muzzleloader hunt. Is there any way that I can hunt this deer? And him or haws for 30 seconds. Just,
which seems like 5 minutes of him hawing.
Oh, absolutely. I was sitting there and I was just like, like the Jeopardy song was playing
in my
head.
I'm sorry.
But he looks at me and he goes, Lee, I just don't know how to make it work. Because with our schedules, I don't know the days that we're going to be out there. It's not like I can just say, yeah, you can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week.
Right.
You know?
Were you devastated?
Initially, I was like, just a freaking dagger to the heart, man.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, man. And then I got a pretty quick mind, and I think, and I look at him and I'm like, okay, how about I call you or text you at like 3 o'clock? You know, it gets dark at 5:15 to 5:30 at this time of the year, depending on the day, obviously. I said, how about I text you at 3 o'clock? And if you're not going, you'll probably know by that point if you're going to be able to go. If you're not going, I'll go. And he goes, he thinks about it for another like 30 seconds, and the whole time, I'm just like, oh, my God, please say yes. Please say yes.
You're saying there's a chance.
And he looks at me and he goes,
what was that one a million talk?
He goes, I think that'll work. And in the freaking fireworks go off in my head. I'm like, hell yeah.
You just want to jump off that horse, hooting and hollering.
There's a freaking chance I'll be able to kill him.
Yeah, you know? So the great dilemma worked out in your favor.
The great dilemma was, am I going to tell him about the deer or not?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You went from 0% chance of killing him to about 90% chance of killing him.
And it was like,
that great dilemma talk is interesting because my hopper dropper deer was a very similar situation to that. I was hunting that deer on a 60-acre piece, knew he was probably living more on the east side of me, and told the neighbor about it. And the neighbor actually went and hunted him a couple times. And he said, you know what, on the last shotgun season, if you get an opportunity and you want to go hunt that deer, you can. And I pissed the guys off that were hunting that farm, but I went in there and killed that deer. But it worked out.
You had permission.
You have that relationship with the landowner, and it works out. So that's awesome, man.
It's a great move. I have a piece, kind of similar to your situation, and I send them every picture that I get.
Yep.
And I'm as transparent as possible. The worst thing you can do is get caught up.
And a lie.
And a lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On a big deer.
And,
yep.
And you know what it is, really? Is certain, like, the longevity of it. And Josh gave great advice in a situation like that. Like, if I'm hunting a piece that a guy's hunting with me and he gives me permission because I'm going to help him, I want him to kill a mature deer, too.
Yep.
The reality of it is, though, I'm going to put more time in on that ground than most people will, more than he will. So the opportunity of success is in my favor because the time is there. I do worry sometimes about certain pieces like this. It's like, what if I kill one because I spent more time and he didn't, and then he's going to get pissed because he didn't put in the effort. That's a different dilemma, but that's not your fault.
Right.
Yep.
And I would say our relationship, I suppose, because you have relationships with landowners,
yeah,
is stronger coming out of it. So I was in that, you know, what the quest hunt competition is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me and Brandon actually were partners.
Yeah. Shout out to Brandon.
Yeah. Shout out to Brandon.
Good Josh.
We won it.
You won it.
Yeah. We won it with our two deer.
Yeah.
He killed 161 inch 10 on one of his farms and I killed him. And so
you killed Brandon?
No. Junk brow. I killed junk brow.
Yeah. That's all it takes to win.
RIP Brandon.
Yeah, no.
Hey, no, you didn't.
So, long story short, we were supposed to get side-by-sides.
Oh, really?
But not enough people signed up in Iowa, so first prize was side-by-sides, but got bumped down to Muddy Bowl Blinds, which is still a
freaking. So when you find your lawsuit,
it's written in there. In their thing.
Oh, okay.
Not enough people sign up. Yeah,
it's we're supposed to get side by side. In the fine instead, print. We got 80 cc CBRs or dirt bikes. Yeah. Dirt bikes.
No, it was Muddy Bowl blinds, and that I'm going to put my blind on that property. Yeah, him and his kids to hunt out of during gun seasons, and me to be able to take my wife and my stepdaughter and
your
and,
girlfriend.
Yeah, no, yeah. No. I got a freaking bomber wife, man.
I do.
Shout out to Jackie.
Shout out to Jackie.
Jackie, shout out to you. Hey, what's the saying?
Can't kill big deer if your wife sucks.
Shout out to Jackie.
And I killed two this year, and having a newborn, going out west, killing an elk, killing these two stud deer. My wife,
Jackie's awesome.
She took a freaking hit this year, man, and I appreciate it more than she knows.
And most of our wives are in that same boat, man. But that's cool. That's very cool of you to do that with a box blind, especially for them kids to like be able to sit comfortably.
It's yeah,
like,
because right now they pop up a pop-up blind, you know? It's like they're out there with negative 15 degrees with a wind chill in a pop-up blind. Yeah, the wind's pouring in. You
now
know?
They got a Mr. Buddy heater, and I hope you're providing snacks.
Roasting Milo's in there now.
Yeah, he's got a little snack bar kiosk in there. Kick ass. So you killed Junk Brow.
I killed Junk Brow, man.
See Working Class on DeerCast for that
whole story.
So how did the landowner react when you told him?
So that night, I called him right after I killed him. Mm-hmm. He didn't answer. So I just texted him and I said, hey, I killed him. And he's only like mid-30s probably. And he did not reply to my text message.
He sends a sad face.
And I was like,
sends a gif.
Fuck. I was like, oh shit, he's pissed, you know? And he's just like, doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
I talked to him a couple weeks later, and he's like, nah, I saw the message. I just, you know, I was out with dinner with friends and just...
You didn't respond?
I just forgot to reply. I'm like, I've been worried for two freaking weeks that you're pissed off at me, and I was going to lose permission on this farm.
Isn't that crazy? 200-incher.
He sounds like our people, though.
He just texts back, nerd.
It's loser. Some people do not, you know, feel the same about that.
Yeah, they don't care.
Right. Like a 200-inch deer is like life-changing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's well, like, yeah, well, good job, man.
And cool. I'm glad the story turned out that way. The guy that respected that deer, and the deer meant the most to you, so that's badass that it went to you versus one of his boys shooting it and it got thrown in the garage.
You know what he did?
Which
he
hot-chicked you. I mean, they've killed some good deer on their ground, mm-hmm. and they mount them, you know?
Yeah.
But
We're here talking about it.
It's different, man.
We're here about it, yeah.
We're talking on a podcast about it.
We're giving
it,
this buck a legacy.
Yep.
That's right.
He is Junk Brow.
Dude, this buck is insane.
Pass him around.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get us some fondling on it. Doug, feel that up. Rub your mustache on it.
Don't. Oh, get out of here with your shit, man.
It has been knighted. It has been knighted.
I love this dynamic between Lee and Doug. It's great.
It felt pretty good.
Yeah. Shout out to Outlaws.
We'll get on that here shortly.
Dude, that thing is so nuts. Like,
it's heavy.
You look at it from a different angle, and it just gets crazy.
Yeah, double split brows, and the thickest part, the biggest blade of the brow is probably what, two and a half wide.
I don't know. I've never taken a measurement like that. Yeah. We talked in the last podcast about water displacement.
Yeah, yeah. You don't get to put a score on the blade. Wowza. The blade of the brows, but yeah, he's two and a half inches wide on his blade on the thick part of his brow.
And that's where, you know, a deer like this, a water displacement, he would.
Murder,
you know,
we got to figure that out. Investors, call us up. We're taking patent offers. We're gonna figure it out.
I've got the score sheet now, so we can kind of go over some measurements if you want.
Yeah, run through the mass at least.
Okay, let me pull it up here.
Can I guess?
Go for it.
7 3/4.
Oh, you're gonna go each measurement.
Yeah. So they are deceiving. The bases are.
What do you got?
Because
six and a half?
Right at the base, very, very base, is a lot smaller than sub right under the brows. 6 1/8 and sixth. And
no
sixth.
Way.
Yep. Because right, you know, half an, or not even half an inch, a eighth inch, quarter inch up from the base is super small. And then he blossoms out going into those big bladed brows.
I don't know if that's super small, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
giant measurement.
Super small.
Probably not the proper words there, but you know.
Is he six on his next one?
Next one's
above average.
So his H2, which would be the second circumference between the brow and the G2, they're both 5 inches.
Wow.
At the smallest point.
And then this one's probably bigger, the last one.
Well, you're on H4 there.
So H3,
right there.
His right antler is 4 5/8, and his left antler is five and four eighths. Sorry, a little dyslexia there.
Still impressive as fuck.
His left side is 5 2/8, and his G or his not his G. His H4 is 5 5/8 on the right side.
To have an H4 over 5 inches is nuts.
Yeah, yeah. 5 inches that. On the left side. Yeah. So every mass measurement is over 5 inches.
Impressive as hell.
Or 5 inches or bigger.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Total gross score is 204 1/8. And official net for fishing score is 197 3/8.
Dude, that is insane. Net 197, that don't happen.
No. No. And his typical, I mean, because realistically, he's a 6x5, but his net 5x5 frame is 177 7/8.
Jeez.
There's not a... getting a thick piece of that deer, man.
Slammer. How you like that, Doug?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. So what? Oh, where does your season go from here? I mean, what the hell?
Like to the future?
Yeah, like what do?
You going to kill some turkeys?
No. I ain't about them winged birds, man.
The winged birds.
Hey, you know what I say? Fuck them birds.
Fuck them
the
birds.
Fat easy. Chickens, bro.
Yep.
Come on.
Doug. I know, man. I know
what my daughter says turkeys say? Cock-a-doodle-doo. Yeah, bird. You got to get up early. That
the
ain't
bird
for me.
Is the word, man. You guys are missing out.
So heard after that I'm a huge shed hunting guy. Big, mm-hmm. big. I'm one of those guys that, you know, after this season, it's like, yeah, I rethink it a little bit. But I'm one of those guys where if I'd have to pick between shed hunting and deer hunting, it'd be a hard choice, but I'd probably choose shed hunting.
Really?
I love it, man.
He's nuts.
It's a bold statement there, brother, for a guy who just killed a 206-inch buck.
Don't like
whatever.
That.
Yeah.
And don't like that.
We got to pick up. In his defense, he's been that way as long as I've known him.
Yep.
We got to pick up a Mondo 6-point, well, a 3-point side.
You got that thing in here?
Pointer.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Here. Yeah, it's right there.
Look at that thing. It's a fucking boomerang.
Do you have people call bullshit on you on this?
I did. I had some people that, you know, I'm...
It's insane.
I'm a TikTok guy. Yeah. I like posting on TikTok.
Hey, Eric wasn't, but now he is.
Yeah.
Eric and posting TikToks of his kid and right. shit all of a sudden.
I had a couple people that like, no way, you know, because it's like 61
TikTok
and 5/8.
TikTok for gays. Next thing you know, Eric's posting his kid on there.
Hey, she gets weird.
It's 61 and 5/8 as a 3-point side.
Wow.
And actually, it was on a property that... I'm a real estate agent. Full-time job, I'm a feed salesman. Part-time, I do the real estate thing, and I was actually showing Austin a farm, and we picked that up on the farm.
You could sit on that.
Oh, you
dog.
Were there when he picked it up?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
he had found it, like, the last time he was on the farm several days before that, and then I wanted to go walk the farm, so he's like, dude, I got permission to pick this shed up. I could see it on the neighbor's side, but I called to get permission. Again, a testament to his character. Instead of walking 30 yards over the fence and picking the shed up, he leaves. Mm-hmm. Calls the landowner, hey, I found a big shot on your farm, but I left it there. And the guy gives him permission to pick it up. So
pretty cool.
I was with him when he picked it up.
And
it's
that one,
insane.
I could see it through the binos the day I found it. And that was a test of character because I was standing at that fence line for a solid 10 minutes.
Dude,
like
nobody in the right mind would have left
that.
That
is a whopper freaking 3-pointer, man.
You sent that.
Let's be honest with what really happened. You're showing Austin the farm. You're trying to sell it. And you go plant some sheds around.
Yeah. Look at all these sheds. Because
I know.
I promise it wasn't there.
This is day one shit.
Somehow they picked up 27 that day.
That's the only one we picked up. And
pretty good farm. Hey,
there ain't no way
farm.
I'm leaving a shed out like that because squirrels, man.
Yeah.
Dude. Tree rats will get it.
I don't know.
How many realtors plant sheds?
I have no idea.
For real, a bunch do.
I have no idea, man. None of us do it. For the company I worked
28
for.
Of them were hangers.
Hey,
every one of them.
It's insane.
Austin's like, isn't that the buck you killed? No, no.
No, I've never seen that buck before.
Never.
Hey,
I'm going to buy this piece.
Look at this deadhead we found.
The tag's on it.
Hey, he's skull capped already.
Weird.
Dense trees in here. Every one of them's a hanger.
Yeah, 27 hangers, one piece.
Wow. I'm not saying the company you're with does that, but some company does.
For sure.
They do, for sure. There's probably some people out there that do, but nobody that works for the company that I work for.
I'll tell you this, though. You have a smart deer hunter looking at a farm, and you're going to pull that shit, they're going to call you.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They know.
But
look, there wouldn't be sheds here, bro. Trust me. This ain't a late season farm, and I know that going in.
Yep.
Don't fuck with me. That's pretty much how that would go.
But so I'm a huge shed hunter. I find 70 to 80 plus a year.
That's a ton.
Ew. Yep. I've got a similar goal.
You're Dana Pace numbers.
I've got a similar goal of Dana. My goal is a 75.
Do you know Dana
entry.
Personally?
No. I mean, I've talked to him a few times on social media.
Yeah.
Because I do the buy and sell thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, driving the price up by antlers. Thanks.
Yeah.
Loser.
Making them shed poachers look for him, right?
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Yeah.
No, I just do for fun, you know.
How many sheds do you find a year, Josh?
Zero. Mark doesn't let me go shed. I edit. That's what I do.
Right, nice.
He yeah. actually,
yeah.
so
yeah.
this is the worst shed Same. Year I've had since I was 9 years old.
For real?
Yep. Mm-hmm. With the mild winter, and I had some trespassing problems on some farms.
That Drought. Just none of them are shedding. They're just
well,
throwing
the deer,
back into the
grove. The deer had held really late, in my opinion.
We got to see a couple deer wearing antlers, yeah. what, like 3 weeks ago? This yeah, would have been like end of April.
No shit.
Really?
Middle of April, yeah.
March, middle of March.
No. It's when April we walked right that now. Van Buren piece, that was only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, true.
So it would have
yeah.
been like April 10.
Yeah,
April
Holy
10.
Fuck.
Yeah. There was wow. 2 bucks, one holding each side. But so to me,
shit fuck.
It was a really mild winter. So the deer.
Everybody sees how much they can cuss in a 30-second span.
Anyone else?
Get
Josh,
it out.
You want to get in there?
Fuck, pussy
Just wait.
Dick.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there.
So mild winter for me, the deer were pretty spread out, you know. Last year, I had the most sheds I ever found in a year. I found 107.
Last year you did?
Last year.
You're welcome.
I found 107. Yeah, I found quite a few with Josh.
Wow.
Josh doesn't find any, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's editing.
Yep.
While walking around.
And then this year, I only found 26. Damn and you. Normally I find 70 to 80.
Wow.
Yep. And just, like I said, between trespassers, mild winter...
On 21 acres, too.
It wasn't for a lack of effort.
No. That's not 21 acres. That's shed hunt.
That's cult ground.
All over. See, funny thing about that is...
You ain't gonna find a fucking shit.
I hardly find shit on...
Because everybody looks for them?
A lot of people look for them, and...
There ain't no food.
There's no food. They don't eat food.
A lot of squirrels.
Yeah. I find... I mean, I walk a lot of...
I have a hard time believing there's no food on 30,000 acres.
So...
Trust us.
Last year...
We don't hunt there for a reason.
Okay, that makes sense. I believe you guys. I'm just,
they crop farm 8,500 acres, 85 to 9,000, depending on the year. They put, you know, take some out if it floods and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Last year, there was 719 acres undisturbed that didn't have cattle on it, didn't get turned over, or there's a product that they call Genicor, which DuPont owns it. It's a byproduct of this detergent industry, really high in nitrogen, and it stinks
what?
Like shit.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. A manna could be the pinnacle.
It could be the best... manage 26,000 acres in the world.
It never will be, though.
Never will be.
It's a shame.
Yep.
Shout
and
to the
it
cult.
Hurts me as a deer hunter.
So who's the cult leader there? Make a phone call or two, man.
Nah, there's
Can we one. Get him on the podcast, you think? Be like, hey, listen, manage your cult.
It's his dad.
So,
it's his dad.
Oh, so, shit. There Speak is... German to your dad and tell him to manage a cult.
So the way a manna sets up, there's a board of directors that's in charge. To make the decisions.
We're back on this again.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
We Lee. Got on it, man.
Lee, I'm sorry.
There's a back conservation hunt, committee, a conservation committee that's in charge of conservation on the ground. My dad's on there. He was the chairman for a long time. And this year after the EHD hit and people just finally getting pissed off about it, you know, there's enough deer hunters now that it used to be just an orange.
Conscious army. Deer hunters.
Now there's enough of them that care.
It's honestly a great representation of what numbers could do to change something, right?
Right. Like
there's
a cult.
There's a small group of people that have known. There's a small group of people that have known what it could be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
There's also a small group of people that can make the changes. All of a sudden, there's a new influx of pressure
mm-hmm.
yep.
to make it different.
So they actually started a basically a deer side committee of the conservation committee, and I'm on that. Because I've
That's
got,
great.
I've got a nutrition background, and I like it. You know, I like deer hunting.
I like it a lot. I like it. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I like it a lot.
Hey, you're trying to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Good and, on you, man. That's a positive step. So you didn't bring that up 30 minutes and 45 minutes ago when we were talking about your cult.
Yeah. So enough
because you're a part
finally.
Of
you know, throw a stink about it. And will something happen? Probably not.
Yeah, but
in the end run, it's a business, and they got to make money.
Yeah, but you're trying to make changes.
Right.
That's what's important.
Making a difference.
Dude, this podcast was super fun. I've never done, I'll give you a lot of credit here. It was probably one of my favorite DeerCast episodes, I think, as far as just, it was fun.
Good episode.
And I've never done a DeerCast episode and then did a working class bow hunter regular WCB episode with the same guy, like in relative, like similar story, similar season, that type of thing, and still had so much interest and so much fun and conversation. It was great. I had a great time on this episode, man. I
appreciate it, man.
Hearing your stories, you're a great storyteller and you're a killer, and we're happy to have you in studio, and I appreciate you coming.
I thought it was terrible.
And Josh?
Josh and I will be back, given the opportunity.
You were a great addition.
Nope. I was just here.
You were.
Nope. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Perry, Carson, even Wade is welcome next time. And maybe Mark will come back.
Mark, we need to come. For sure.
I wonder if I could be like, hey, Mark, bring the boys. Field trip.
Field trip. Did you bring a school bus?
We're going to drink some whiskeys.
The boys.
Can I come with and drink beer?
Nope.
Just not be part of it?
No, absolutely not.
Cool. The boys with your main caged.
Colt.
For sure.
We need to get them up for that Turkey Palooza party.
We do need to talk about that.
What's that?
Fifth season in Illinois, but you guys wouldn't
first
have
First week
tags.
In May.
Yeah, wouldn't have tags this year, but
eventually. Next year.
May 6th? What's that?
Yeah, May 6th.
May 6th.
That's a cool day.
What's up? Birthday. Hey, we can throw a birthday party. You want to come out and have a good time?
We got a limo.
You guys are welcome.
Really?
Well, Austin has a limo. Easy.
You have a limo?
Hey, don't throw it on him yet. You got a surprise.
We have a working class bow hunter set up here. We'll talk after the episode. We're going to get you guys to Turkey Palooza. We're going to film some stuff.
I don't turkey hunt. I'm just going to drink.
Yeah, no, you just film and have a good time.
What do you think I do?
You just film me.
We just hang out.
Hey,
they can only hunt till 1 over here mushroom in the afternoon. Hunt. So after that,
I thought it was noon in Illinois.
1 o'clock.
One, and then we can mushroom hunt after 1, and then you can drink beer anytime after.
Then
well, we're adults, so you can really drink whenever you want. You can drink anytime you want. So that's fun.
Appreciate you guys.
Lee, you got anything to add, buddy, at the end of this episode?
Not a whole lot, man. I just appreciate you guys letting me come over here and tell my story and, like you say, tell the legacy of Junk Brow, man.
It was a ton of fun, man. I hope, for your sake, while we're on you right now, I hope everyone that listens that knows our jokes are sarcastic and that they genuinely are good people that are in your life. And that's how we joke on this podcast. That's what makes us fun. That's what makes us real. So people who are new on Lee's sake, I said Josh, didn't I, earlier?
No, you said Lee.
On Lee's sake.
On Lee's behalf.
I know who he is.
On Lee's behalf, we're very sarcastic. That's what we do here.
And I'm cut from the same teeth as you guys. A lot of my friends understand this kind of stuff, so you don't have to be worried about that.
Shout out to Brandon.
We're all degenerates.
Yeah.
Josh, Brandon. Thanks for being here again.
Hey, man. I didn't contribute much. Congratulations again, man.
Thanks, brother.
Hell of a season.
Here's the thing. A guy like this, he said it. I'll never have a season like this again. It's pretty easy to believe. There's only a couple people that will. If you will into existence being a good dude, you will.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Appreciate it, boys.
I'm not pumping them up, man. Like, it's...
I feel the vibe.
Think about how many things we covered today. People would have made different decisions.
There's a lot of guys who would have cut some corners on that to be a little easier about it in the time. That would have made it harder for them later.
Yes, sir. For sure.
So that's very true. Austin, what you got, buddy?
That was a great time, man. I thoroughly enjoyed the story of Junk Brows.
Yep. We'll see you Saturday.
Hell yeah.
go walk another farm.
Go look at another farm.
See you Saturday. Eric, what you got, buddy?
No, man, congrats. I mean, a hell of a season from the elk to these two wonderful deer in here, and hopefully you can do it again next year.
Thank you. Don't even ask Doug. We didn't even talk about that.
What's your sister's name?
Right? I will say, college
career.
Thanks for never kicking me out of Outlaws.
So. There you go.
You guys went to the same college.
I appreciate that.
Hold on. What we're going to talk about right now. You guys went to the same school.
We did.
Yeah, we both went to Iowa State.
Same time?
Yeah. Yep, pretty much. And I was a bartender at one of the bars. And
I was at the bars.
And
did you recognize him? Do you know him from the bar?
I don't think so. I didn't have a mustache then.
He's all blacked out. He couldn't remember it.
Doug, shave your mustache off quick and see if you recognize
him. Then I might remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember him without the mustache.
Hey, imagine Doug with no pussy. Okay, now blink, and then here it is again.
That's a fact, Jack.
Goddamn.
Lee sucks.
Josh, go ahead and tell the story.
I'm not telling shit.
Yeah, you guys could have been buds. You guys would have been after the same women, but nobody would have got any, so you guys have just been friends anyway. You guys have been playing Call of Duty at the dorm.
When I started working at Outlaws, I was a bouncer. When I started working, I was a bouncer, and Josh came up one day, a couple times actually, and he was underage, and so the both times he came, my boss was sitting by me, and I was checking IDs, and he tried to get in, and I'm like, dude, my fucking boss is right next to me. I can't let you in underage. Like,
and you've known him forever.
Yeah, I know how old he is, you know?
Right.
And he still gives me grief about that every time we talk about it.
So
he's your boy. You
what's funny is when I turned 21, I forgot my ID, a.k.a. I lost it.
Yeah.
We all did.
Guess what I gave him to get into the bar?
Your credit Foyd card. Foyd card. Oh, you don't have
We're in Iowa. Your hunting license.
Yes, absolutely. Sir. He gave me his hunting license and his date of birth on it.
He's got your date of birth on it.
Yep. So with that, you know, I checked IDs for 6 months and then I went to a bartender. It was Ames rules. You had to ID everybody that walked through the door. Technically, did everybody do it? No. But I did with everybody just because it was fun.
You got great morals, too.
I checked. The oldest ID I checked was an 86-year-old grandma.
I mean, literally, this guy old was the one that you're like, dude, fuck you.
Yeah.
We know what you used to do.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you old bitch.
You're in. And she loved it that I checked her ID.
Man. Oh, for sure.
I ate it up.
You probably pulled it up. What are you, 21? You pulled the whole card on her.
I went to buy beer yesterday at a gas station, and it was like those new hard Mountain Dews, just because I was like, I want to try them, you know, because I was one of those little redneck kids that loved Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
who did it all? I set it on
You're from
desk.
Iowa.
Yeah, I set it on the desk, and the girl looks at me, and she goes, yeah, okay, I'm going to have to see some ID. I'm like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm 30.
Yeah.
You're 30.
27.
You're checking that old lady's ID, 1936. It's like, hey, honey, we're going to need some.
Yeah, ID, a second form
second
ID.
Second form, please.
ID. Got any rusty old cars in your dress?
How much land you got?
Yeah, how much land you got, honey? Who are you married to? Oh, deceased. What's up?
Widow.
You got a will?
Nice.
You got a will?
All right, we took a weird turn there at the end.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Dude, baiting the ladies for hunting ground, not out of question. Doug, you got anything to close with?
He would.
Congrats.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
All right, you know what to do. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the support. Hope you enjoyed this one. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.